Okay, I guess everybody's here. Go ahead. Who's not there? Go ahead and start the meeting. John, could I get you to say the prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here as a group representing Deer Springs Ranch. We ask, Father, that Thy Spirit will be here with us, that we may make the right decisions that are good for all at the ranch, and make the right and wise decisions and what we should do. We're thankful also that we all arrived here safely. And we ask this help in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Do the roll call. Start with you, Jeff.
Here.
Go around.
Jeff Nicholson.
John Harris.
Jody Akers.
Jerry Clarkson.
Linda Alderman.
Mariah Wheeler.
Brad Hunt.
Joe Bose.
Candy Bose.
Sunshine Harris.
Sunshine.
May Woolsey.
May and Bob Woolsey.
Bob Allen.
Okay. Anybody on the, what do you call this thing?
Teleconference.
I haven't gotten on yet.
You're not on yet.
Are you close to getting that done? Did you need just a second?
Should we wait for Bob here for a minute?
Yeah, that would be good.
Which shows the only person absent is Phil Hall.
He's not back from safari or wherever he went?
I think he is, but I think he had some other commitment on top of that.
He had another obligation that he had double booked and
took him back
thought it was a different day, but he had to be there. So
is this yours or mine?
Now the whole stack. If you want all of them, you can have them.
I really don't want them. I don't even know how to read.
I make a motion to cut his pay in half.
Yeah, cut my pay in half. I haven't been working lately.
Then now you got everything.
That's it. Huh? Okay.
Yeah, you want to see it.
How do you like these offices versus being in the seat? I was at your office.
I still have the office in the seat.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. All the work happens, but I go down there regularly. So.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's a nice break, get away. But we stay busy.
When you get cold here, you go down there and get a little hotter?
That's right. That's right.
Warm up?
In the summer, we leave 103 here and go down to 115 or so down there.
Warmer, yeah. Have you read all of those books on that shelf there?
At least twice, maybe three times.
I've never made a good lawyer. I hate reading them.
Don't read the books anymore. It takes too long. Everything's online. Those are just decorations.
Starting a little early, aren't you?
Don't let Candy see me eating. I want her to put in looks for that.
Yeah, you don't have to look.
She's a school teacher.
She's got eyes for an hour.
He already saw her coming out of our ears.
She saw me before I did.
She knows what's in my bag and if you would pull out yet. No.
They were a gift to me last night at the ball game. Oh, I went, I know where I'm going.
We don't need that much chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And what's funny is I can't eat it, so it's like,
well.
Is that what you printed out, Jess?
I had to.
Well, if it's helping
the whole thing.
It is. Sure.
I'm wondering if it might be any easier for me to dial into the number on my phone, and we have a little Bluetooth conference thing, and because the line's already live, right?
See, that all Vance wants is a copy to put on, a copy of the meeting to put on the website.
Well, we can record the meeting.
It's still not working then?
I guess not. Now it isn't.
Want to try your plan? Well, I can at least try.
What? Who has a recorder? Is it recording yet?
Well, I've got my recorder going.
Oh, do you?
Jody didn't get it out yet.
We can either record it or we can dial in on my phone.
There's one.
Here's one.
Is that your recorder?
That's his.
But Jody's got the...
You know, tell me what the phone number is. What's the dial-in number?
Okay, the dial-in number is... 712-432-3100.
Last time I just put that right into the wall and just dialed it from there.
Yeah.
I just didn't use the laptop at all.
Well, I've never done it that way.
Done?
What is the group of phone line?
No, it's plugged into the phone line. So it's just, that just becomes your phone. And it records it in the cloud, wherever you're dialing into.
Still nice? John, still nice with the
chair? Oh, Gavin? Very nice.
But it's just getting cold this night.
With this warm, I've run around just like this with more t-shirt on.
You know what that food is? The impression I got, knowing they're done and gone now.
And I'm a sissy liar. They're here, but
they have
said, and I'm a sissy low.
Pain then anymore. I don't know what team worked out with Phil. I haven't heard of her. You know, is Nancy still being paid?
She's going to accrue, as far as I understand. If she accrues hours where she's spending working on the ranch, then she will submit those to John for approval.
So from now on, she's just going to be on
an
hourly rate?
She and Paul.
So they're just trying to get their stuff done and done?
And that is as of what date?
That they started the hourly rate.
She's received her last check already.
Yeah, so starting November 1st.
November 1st, okay.
Yeah.
So she has extra time to get her stuff done, but
they
it's not costing us.
They have been emailing me time, but they haven't lately. Mm-hmm. So I'm behind on that.
Well, she stopped.
Well, she's been up to here.
Well, yeah, she's moving things, and so she's not putting that moving time on.
No, but I mean,
that's
just,
why she stopped.
She's very busy.
Working to try and get all that stuff out, so more stuff out.
I sent you that information on the water testing.
Yes, I did receive.
Because I haven't been involved for a while and didn't know what was going on. And with you coming on new, I thought you'd want to know.
Thank you, yes.
And
yes, I do.
So I sent it to you in advance.
Wonderful. Thank you.
How involved is
it? Is that something I can get on their mailing list for? Okay.
That's why you need the password.
It's the lab that we have the water test.
Yeah, I know all about that.
Oh, yeah.
What month is that?
Over last testing? Or what he sent me was just a reminder of holiday hours upcoming.
Jody.
So I could get on the list.
Jody, do you know how much time it would take to get another person qualified to do the water stuff that Paul was doing?
No, I do not.
You know, did Paul take a class that was a couple days long?
What's your
week
most
long?
No, I tried, but it is right here.
Well, we should probably be looking at that and figuring out exactly what the costs are on that and what the time thing is that.
Is that something you'd be interested in getting certified in? Since you're out there so much?
Yes. If maybe.
Yeah. Because there are people that could bring it to Cedar City. Like he has done, we'd be willing to do it if we're up
you
there.
You do not have to take it always to Cedar City. You can take it to St. George.
Well, then we drive right through there when we go home. And I know the time frame.
That's what I volunteered before. I told Paul, I said, I go right through St. George. I can either drop it off there or I can even drop it off in Vegas. But
as I was there when a man told Paul that you can take it. When he came out and did an inspection, he said, you know, you don't have to go to Cedar City. You can go to St. George. I guess there are times you have to go to Cedar City.
Depends on the test that you're doing.
How about you go around and drink?
But
and
think,
once a month
you get sick, you're just not that well out.
So I think most of it now.
Once a week, I should drink out of a different well. So you got a week to observe me. If your skin turns yellow, we'll just tag that well.
I know that's something that should be probably a priority if we want to
have
water next year.
So did I? The story that I had heard is that Paul was going to continue on and do that, be our water
master.
Is that, am I getting wrong?
He's wanted to, but not been authorized. We got to decide whether it's worth about a four-hour day.
Right.
At $20 an hour to do that.
Right.
I think that's worth it for us to get another guy who's at the ranch.
We really should have somebody who's new, either on the ranch or owns a lot and does come up regularly and do it. That would be the best way.
Can two people become certified? So
I don't know,
if you lose the ranch manager or something, then somebody.
I'm sure they can. Yes.
Is anybody on the call?
We should have Brent do that then, because he lives there year round. And, or John, because John's up there.
John's got too much.
It said nobody was on, but well, it's connected, so if they connect in, then
so
they'll
just drop it off.
Anybody dials in.
And then we need to do a stop.
Well, I can drop water samples off, because I'm back and
I'm
forth.
I'm recording here, too, Bob.
North end.
But I mean for the equipment to record.
So star 5.
I put star 5, star, and then it takes it.
I'll try that.
Okay.
We should become self-sufficient as rapidly as possible and not have extra costs.
Mariah's not doing anything.
Hey, star 5 star?
It worked. Yeah.
Did you say anything?
I'm not. No.
Just
leave that job.
Right. Just give her a horse and say, go drop it off.
I have a horse. Even I just ride right on out. It'll only take me 3 or 4
days. Yeah, speakerphone, just like that. We used to have one of those, but we went with the Wi-Fi system, so.
Okay.
So we up and running? We're up and running?
You're as running as we're going to get.
Okay. Next on the agenda, we got the approval for the minutes. Does anybody want to make a motion for that? And do we have any questions on it?
I'm not on the board. I was at the meeting. So there was a tremendous amount of more information and corrected information that I think should be on here. So what I'd like to do, and I've made comments all over here,
just send it
to I know you. It was difficult for you to hear on there. For names, I have all those names.
Yeah, I left two question marks, comma, question marks. I knew that there were people speaking, but I could not hear what their names were. So okay. That's why I put the comment.
Tress Harden and Heikobo,
the other German
man.
Okay.
But, I mean, I have some other things. And when I reviewed this as just an individual, I thought that we needed to have a little more information because these minutes are our legal documents. And if we don't state in there specifically what areas were brush hogged, what culverts were cleaned, who is also going to continue with, say, the dedicated hunters, fencing being a priority, stockpiling, Brent doing an inventory of the tools and pictures, I think that information, since this is a legal document, even though it gets cumbersome, it's the only thing we can refer to say this is the actual stuff that happened. So you did a great job. I was there, so I took minutes and I compared the two. And I will send that other back to you so that you can see all the little marks that I made.
That's what I asked for.
Thank you. I just got back from Cabo San Lucas.
And we're up at the ranch.
Up at the ranch. I have had absolutely no time.
No.
And then we're heading back up to the ranch. So what can I say?
So we want to put that off until the next meeting?
Yeah, I'll revise them.
Revise them.
Get the notes from Candy.
Okay. So we'll hold off until the next meeting, which will be probably in January. I don't think we have a meeting scheduled for December.
Not yet.
Next one will be in January at Phil's house.
It's supposed to be at our house.
Vegas.
Oh, at our house. It's supposed to be in Vegas. So it's supposed to be in Vegas.
Do you have a date on that?
January 12th. I think it's on the minutes. The suggested time?
We'd come to Quartzsite and I'd put you out in the cactus garden.
And they're not going to record us because what happened in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Stays in Vegas. Okay, so move on to the follow-up assignments. I don't know how much of it's been done. The items are about 12 of them here. List of approval for ranch equipment for the operators. It really hasn't been done as of yet. The problem I have with that, I think there's either a lack of information on what the people should be doing, or there could be some abuse. The problem I have is
I needed to use the backhoe this weekend to dig a hole in my yard, and Brent Fulmer was digging a hole in Doyle Edison's yard, so we split the time. I owe you a check for half of that, for a half a day. And here's the problem. Brent went to lube the backhoe, and all of a sudden, there's one grease fitting that won't take grease. So I switched grease fittings from side to side, took grease, then I heat grease in the bottom one. It took roughly 24 clicks to fill it with grease. We started it up. The oil pressure gauge is not working. And here's my problem. It's been loaned out or rented out to five different people, and nobody has mentioned any of these things. So they're treating it like a piece of rental equipment that we don't own. It's not. This isn't owned by Ahearns. This is owned by us. So we can't have an oil gauge not working and grease not being put in and not even being told, hey, I used it. I can't grease it. Fix it. So we need to get this straightened out before we continue to rent it out, in my opinion. That's one of the major things I've got on it.
Maybe a checklist for before
and after. Maybe a checklist before and after, or we're going to have to increase the charge and say, we'll grease it for you before you receive it, and then we'll grease it the next time before it goes out and charge the person for that specific. Because it took Brent and I over a half an hour, the two of us, with John helping me, to fix the things that were bad. So I'm concerned about the rental. General,
I've got a comment.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. This machine has definitely needed some a lot of maintenance on it that should have been ongoing. That was probably missed for a long time. But that oil gauge did start working finally.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. And it bothered me because we had two people that had, were using it, and they drove it over to the podunk, and neither one of them said anything about no oil pressure. That's bothersome.
Yeah,
because, you know, you just kill it if there's no oil pressure. You kill the engine or you're going to destroy it. So I think as a ranch, if we have somebody working at the ranch, it's the oil stuff and the greasing, they need to keep up on that themselves. And but people using it, we're going to have to come up with a checklist for them. They're going to have to check the fuel. They're going to have to check the oil, even though it may be full or may not. Right now, I don't think anybody understands the rental plan on it. I have two people that are, well, there's been more, four people that have used it.
And none of the four.
None of the four said anything.
Nobody said a word.
We had one come back and said something that used it on Phil's and Jody's, that there was a pin missing.
Yeah.
We went down and looked at it. I come to Kirk and got parts and fixed that myself.
Yeah, I put a 1032 screw in it for the time being and bent it over just so it could be used. So we bought the parts.
So anyway, this comes back to my thing. We need to narrow it down to who is going to be able to drive it. We've got a lot of people who want to use it, but we don't know who should be driving it, and those people should pay qualified persons to drive it if they want to be paid. They want to do it free. Brent will do things, and he wouldn't charge you anything. But this is a concern of mine because we do have it over there being used. I don't think they understand how much they're going to have to pay for it. We have to decide whether it's $75 for a half a day. That's 4 hours. Anywhere from 5 minutes to 4 hours is a half a day. That's $75. 4 hours and 1 minute to 8 hours would be a full day at $150. We have to decide when they take it. If they can come and get it the night before and they use it the next day, and that's it, and they're going to skip a couple of days before they need it to get it again, they still need to get it back. If they don't get it back, then they'll be charged something for that. Because In Brett's case, he needed it. It wasn't brought back, and I was told it was going to be brought back, and it didn't make it back.
Yeah.
And so Brett had to wait another 2 or 3 days. This is probably not for this meeting. It ought to be for the committee.
I agree.
To decide
we need to make it
how we're going to do that.
Be more precise on our directions on that.
But you have a list of people that we considered.
Yeah, we have it. It never did get finalized. And also, we don't have anything where members can... We ought to have a set of rules written up that every member could read. I don't know how we do that. Do we mail it to them on tracker use?
I would suggest that we put together a lease agreement. You're not going to have Ahern or anyone else releasing their equipment without somebody signing saying, I agree to these terms, including...
Yeah.
Checking the box on who the driver's going to be, it's just a matter of putting it in place.
I
don't know that we need to publish it to all the members. They just need to know until you sign this document, you don't get to use the machine. Period.
See, I'm gonna be gone by the end of November for the winter.
A positive view, a good idea too, because bottom line is you have to have some ability to say if you're going to use it, then it's going to be looked at when it's returned, and if there's a problem that wasn't there before. It needs to be taken care of.
I agree.
He does have a $500 deposit on it now.
Well, but I don't think we're having anybody sign anything.
No, and you know, I rented it, and I forgot about $500 deposit myself. Well, so
nobody else is doing it either, and I don't know that that's...
But if we have a lease agreement...
If we have a lease agreement, then they're willing to take care of it. The problem of it is, we'll say that you used it yesterday. And you nearly broke it, but it didn't look broke. I come over tomorrow morning and I drive it up to my place, and as I'm going up the hill, it breaks. Is it mine? Mm-hmm. Yours? Whose is it?
Mr. President, Vice President, I have a question here. Could it be something that the board is kind of like in limbo as to how we're supposed to execute this lease agreement? Number one. Number two, no one's at the ranch. And then Brent's going to leave in January. If no one's at the ranch to actually go through this, it's wintertime, should this be something that's not rented until we actually get someone?
Yeah. If, they don't, if there's nobody to overlook it and there's nobody to sign documents, then the machine doesn't move.
None of the machinery gets moved?
Need to be removed?
Yeah.
Or you?
Or locked up. Or locked up.
I agree.
Because I've had concerns about this from the first day we mentioned about leasing the equipment out, because this is, see, we just started and it's already a can of worms.
Yeah, see, there's two people already that have been authorized to use it, and neither one of those two people mentioned that the grease fitting wasn't taking grease, and they never tried it in the bottom one because it took 24 clicks. That's, and we're supplying the grease gun, and it wasn't even used. So
with
it's not being done.
It's an electric grease gun. All you got to do is pull the trigger.
Pull the trigger.
Okay, we need to come up with a new program. Let's readdress it.
I think for private use, we can't afford to lose our backhoe for our ranch use.
Right.
And so until we have this solidified exactly how we're going to do, I think it should be very limited on what private use. And if somebody uses it, then they should sign something, and it should be controlled. But right now, I think it's foolhardy to just let people come and take it willy-nilly, or we're not going to end up with a backhoe for our ranch.
I'm going to make a motion that we suspend any leasing of the ranch equipment at least until the next meeting of the board, and I'll prepare a draft of a sign-out or lease agreement for people to sign for use of the backhoe. That's really all we're dealing with at this point, but it... The same form could be used for other equipment in the future.
Could I give you another thought? Where Brent is going to be at the ranch for another month or so, maybe have things go through Brent, and then as soon as someone's not there, matter of fact, why don't we just see if he'll be the man, and when the man is here, then the machine is...
I'm okay with that. I think we're putting a lot of jobs on Brent's plate.
Yeah.
I mean, the list I saw
the
today,
list he showed,
I only
yeah.
read through half of it and made me tired, and it's not even me doing the work.
He might need to use that for something, and if he's out there...
I think he's out there being...
Then he's an authorized user, and only authorized users right now
I don't know, just a thought.
He's the ranch manager interim right now, so if he has ability to run it and the permission to run it until we do get a ranch manager in place.
But we're not going to lease it to anybody else.
No.
If they want it, they go to
right now.
Brent can operate it.
Right now, I think the Fry's are between the Fry's and the Gentry's are using on their new wells up there, and I told them they didn't have to have it back this weekend, but they can bring it back this next. So they have two pieces of equipment. They have the auger with the Kubota, and they have the backhoe.
Are they almost finished?
Well, they don't have that much to do, but it's kind of sporadic what they're doing there. You know, it's got to sit here for a while, and it has something to do with their water when they're drilling. I don't know, and digging a hole for it, and then the augers and sort of some fence posts around it, I guess. So anyway,
but there's a motion on the floor.
So there's a motion on the floor. Anybody want to second it?
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Discussion's good, but does anybody want to second the motion?
Does anybody want to second the motion?
What was the motion again?
That we suspend once we get the equipment back from where it's at right now, that we suspend further rental of the equipment to any third party until we have another meeting and look over a proposed lease agreement.
I'll second that.
And then add to that, with the exception of the only authorized
person is Brent.
Is Brent at this point?
Well, I'm assuming Brent's going to be doing ranch stuff, so that doesn't fall under what I've said. I'm talking about third-party rentals.
Okay.
Use on the ranch, obviously, if there's something needs to be taken care of, that's what the equipment's for. That's not a third party that's going to pay for it or anything. Also,
I do feel confident that Brent, if operating, that somebody needs a job done, that they could hire that machine.
Yeah, we can trust Brent.
And have Brent to operate it. With him being the sole operator of outside ranch work.
Yeah, because when he fired it up the other day, he said it has no oil pressure. He shut it down and called me. I had to go down and check it. He wouldn't even run the engine. So we can trust him.
Okay.
Well, all in favor?
Aye.
I think. Not
any opposed?
I'm not sure what I just voted on.
We're stopping. When it comes back this weekend, it's not going back out unless it's for ranch use only and Brent's using it, basically.
Yes.
So we'll.
Okay.
Can Brent be informed to pick up the keys and take them out of the equipment?
John.
Go ahead.
Whoever has. You're leaving the end of the month, or are you?
I'll be leaving by the end of the month.
Okay. So. When whoever leaves last, those keys need to be taken and put somewhere where somebody else can.
They should be brought
down. I'm going to trust that to Brent on the equipment.
So did we get an amendment on that with Brent being the sole operator, if someone can talk him into it?
If Brent,
outside work.
If Brent has work and he's going to be the operator, then that's not what we're talking about.
Okay. That would be on the ranch.
He's not considered third party.
No, outside work party on the ranch.
It'll be strictly for ranch repair.
Members.
So it's unavailable now, no matter what anybody else needs.
That's
what the motion was. That's what we voted on.
Dang. Okay.
Do we get keys made yet? Extra keys?
Not to my knowledge.
Is there only one?
To my knowledge, only one key. Unless it came with two, I don't know.
No.
Okay, while we're still on this, I have a couple of things I'd like to drag out here. One of them, Brent, I talked to Brent, of course, personally, but he's emailed this morning. Pretty long list. Everybody needs to read it. He expects an answer. He didn't expect a detailed answer, but he expects, okay, I got it.
We're gonna cover that on item 4.
Okay.
We all got that letter, yes.
Okay, you all got it. Very good. And okay, I'll just stop on that then. I had another thought that it went by the bye-bye.
Barry wants to read those books one more time before he finishes the letter, though. Okay.
The second thing.
As far as an assignment on that, I will draft an equipment lease, a rough draft for the next meeting for us to discuss.
Do me a favor, though. Let you and I talk about that a little bit first, because I read your one on bees, and I think it applies to the Empire State Building. Because I think you went a little bit too far.
Well, let me tell you how that works just real quickly. What I had anticipated with bees and others is that I would make a draft, we'd come here and discuss and cross things out. So there's a lot of stuff in there that doesn't necessarily
apply. Yeah, that's what I was getting at, yeah.
I'm not prepared to make the decision for the board and leave stuff in and take stuff out and give and come with what I think is the final draft, because you guys need to be involved in that discussion, and I've got copies of it here today.
Okay.
If you want me to make judgment calls and come with what I think is what really applies as a close to final version, I can do that, but you won't necessarily be tipped off that there are other options. I'm happy to do that. It's just, it takes a little more work, but you're basically giving me the free reins a little bit to make some decisions on, like the bee lease, it talks about everything.
Yeah.
So we can cross things out. I can come with an equipment lease that specifically applies to this, but and there would be less need for discussion probably, but you're going to have to come to the table and say, well, this is missing or that's missing. So I can do it either way.
Well, I kind of figured that, but I didn't want to say too much because, you know, you went through the trouble of listing everything, and I thought a lot of that didn't need to be in there, but yes, a lot of it was good.
It's there so that, because it's easier to cross stuff out than it is. This is a sculpture, not a painting. So we're going to chip stuff away rather than add stuff on. That's where we're all involved in the decision, and I don't have the final say. I think that's the better way to go so that nobody feels like, oh, well, you know, this was angled one way or the other.
Okay.
But as time gets smaller and smaller, sometimes if you kind of narrow down specifics, they have an idea of what they want to do too. And I'm just wondering if, because with the bee contract, it's going to take everybody either to email everybody or sit here for half an hour. And
I don't want to do it in a meeting. That's why I emailed it out, and I expected, you know, Jody said there's some things here that don't apply, and she's going to send me cut the stuff out. I'd rather do it through email. It's much faster to do that than have it in the meeting. But when I send out the first draft, it's basically, here's kind of the realm of possibilities. If you say, you know, we don't want this in here, it's very easy to cut and paste and take it out.
Okay.
We all need to look at that this month and get that new policy back.
Okay, let's move it on. Number two, the... Jody made the suggestion that the rules and regs should be in the, for the equipment, should be included in our rules and regs, and they're not. So how it got missed, I don't know. So I'm agreeing, yes, we should have the equipment policy in there, but looks like now we're going to change the one for the backhoe and a few others. So.
The revision started before we had a backhoe,
yeah.
So it just wasn't.
So we're going to have to incorporate that after we come up with the new.
I saw it, and then one time I thought I didn't. I'm like, no, I can't find it, so that's fine.
So we'll have to come up with new regulations in the new equipment policy.
And I've got those here as well with the current version.
Okay.
And if it's a matter of, okay, one of the add-ons is we need to add something to the equipment, you just need to make a note of that, and then I can, or whoever, okay. I don't have to do it for sure. But
moving on, Shane Gallagher.
Can I say one more thing about the backhoe?
Go.
You know, that's going to be the most sought-after piece of equipment.
Without a doubt.
That's proof. And here's a concern that I have. We need that for the rats, okay? I don't want to wear it out with people using it day in and day out and day in and day out. I can understand using it for small things here and there, but I wouldn't like to see it go for a guy's got a project going out there and he's going to use it. He's going to be putting many, many, many hours on it. Right now, we need new tires on it. They already got, one of them went down because they had to be aired up. And I don't know what those are going to cost. They may cost $1,000, those two rear tires. They may cost more, they may cost a little less, but I'll bet they run close to that. And what's going to happen if we don't do something there? Somebody's going to blow a tire over in Slide or over in the Podunk, and it's just going to be sitting there.
It'll cost more to fix it then than later, yeah, than earlier, I should say.
So, I agree. But I'm just against using it, at least in this, for renting it out for a long period of time. The guy needs a day or two of doing some stuff around. I understand that. I want to move a couple of scoops of gravel and dig a couple of holes to bury a dead skunk in, you know.
Well, that was the original agreement on the original thing. We said that nobody should use it more than 3 days.
Yeah.
And even if they had it on the second day, if the ranch needed it, we had the right to pull it away from them, use it for what we needed, and then bring it back. So they're at our mercy when it comes to our emergencies.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll have to be clarified.
I just want that noted, okay, and I'll say no more.
Number three is change.
You want your protest to record. You want your protest on the minutes, right?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Okay. Number three, Shane Gallagher from Wingate. They're not here, so he should be at one of the meetings. I don't know where his office is. Probably in Kanab.
No, it's right at the junction of Johnson and 89.
So it's not in St. George, though.
No.
No. So we'll have to make arrangements to get him at one of our meetings before the season opens next year.
Who's that?
Shane Gallagher, one of the owners of Wingate.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, number four, John Harris was supposed to check on the MOU, another road survey. Did that get done?
Well, the road survey, the cameras are still up. We never did get them down to check the things.
Yep.
They're still up.
Okay.
So we need to do that.
You pull those before you go, maybe you can.
Yeah, we need to pull those. Okay. And are we going to give those
to Bob?
Give them to Bob. Yeah, pull them. Give them to Bob.
Those, okay. Shots. Okay.
Okay.
And on that, I'll be working with Dirk Clayson on some wants and needs on that road. And he did email me an email address to his foreman, which I tried to contact the foreman, and I got it. It didn't go through. It won't go through with the address I got, so I got it.
Okay. So pull the chips out and give them to Bob.
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, Linda was going to do some swimming signs for the swimming hole.
Yeah.
Pond 1-2, did that get done?
That hasn't gotten done yet.
Okay. So is there somebody in Kanab that makes those signs, or we have to order them?
No, I have a sign company. Okay.
Well, we don't need them till spring now, so.
And that was my understanding. So
yeah, there's no hurry on those. Ranch maintenance, the brush hog. That U-joint ever fixed the brush hog?
Well, no, the U-joint is sitting out there. Paul never took it back or never put it on. I think we kind of agreed that we'll put it on and see what happens, because the guy that fix this for us, he will back it up.
Oh, he will.
Yeah. That's Mike Crosby. And he's a very honest guy. I think if we put that thing on and give it a try, we lubed it really good to see if that noise would go down a little. And now we're thinking, well, we'll just run it and see what happens.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, if it goes out, I guess Paul was going to talk to him, but now I'll talk to Mike and tell him.
Yeah, the concern here was is Paul had the U-joint replaced. With my background, I thought I would just check it, and I didn't like the way it felt.
Yeah.
It had a clicking feel in it, and I've never put a U-joint in a vehicle with a click in it. And so we greased it, and the click didn't go away. There's probably a 70% chance that it'll wear itself out. They might have cracked one of the rollers, and may never bother it, but we should check it out.
I don't know that if Paul ever said anything to Mike, I will do that myself.
Well, if Crosby will back it up, let's go ahead and put it in service and see what happens.
Yeah.
There was a comment in the last meeting that the board was, if the brush, the U-joint got fixed, the brush hogging could be done. There was a comment made that perhaps the ranch could hire someone to go out and do some of the brush hogging before the snow comes.
I'll speak on that when I get to Mike.
Because we need to get some of the stuff done for his cattle for next year. We need that brush hogging and running.
Another item here was the oak trees at the gravel pit need to be removed. I'm not aware of that one.
The what?
The oak trees near the gravel pit.
That's along that road. that they're starting to encroach in.
Oh, yes, when you're around the corner going toward.
They're in the way or something? Hall.
As you come down off the hill, past the gravel pit, and you start going down,
yeah.
The oak trees are hanging
out. Starting to hang over.
We're probably going to remove those anyway if we're going to work that gravel pit anymore.
Okay. The Kubota needs a U-joint. I don't know if that was done. That's the same for the brush hog.
Just a comment on the Kubota quickly that it mostly is set all year long. I can't imagine it need to have a whole lot of servicing done. I don't know if it needs to be
changed. I don't think it was used because the board is originally at the first of the season this last year, basically, from my understanding, until Paul forget the brush hogging.
That's correct.
One of the cabins were become a priority. And
we had been working on the lower field and had gotten out there, and then the U-joint broke on the brush hog, so it sat there in the lower field until he finally pulled it into the ranch.
But my comment is that because it has sat, then there's not going to be a whole lot of maintenance that's
correct.
Probably going to be required,
correct.
Like if we use it all summer, and that we need to do some maintenance. So that should be taken in consideration on that list that Brent gave us.
You know, I'm like Brent, though, with that letter he wrote. We probably ought to change the oil and everything, because when new managers come in, we don't want them to have to be figuring out what has or has not been done. We ought to just change the oil on every piece of equipment we got before they take over, in my opinion.
Who would you have do that?
Excuse me?
Who would you have do that?
Well, Brent said he would help. I'm thinking about coming back up and maybe helping him do some stuff if I get some time.
Well, Brent and I've got a bunch of stuff that's got to be done here.
So I will help,
right,
yes.
Now he's working on some stuff there, and he's a little frustrated. He's a little frustrated, just tell you that right
there's
now.
So much left.
Some stuff. Because he doesn't want to spend every day doing it.
Of course not.
I want to spend a couple hours. That's all I want. Well, it's a lot more than a couple hours worth of work there to get things caught up. And when we get new managers in there, if we don't start out to clean slate, they're going to feel like they're being fed with a fire hose. And that isn't going to be good.
Well, I understand Brent's position because I went up there to move and put a water tank in on my place. Deliberately came up for that. I ended up spending about 4 hours working on equipment. So, because you know, Brent's the only guy, or me, or you. That was it.
Well, if you're going to need to cut some space, I say cut it on a Kubota.
So, would you want to hire somebody in to change the oil and all of that? That's why you come out to give you that.
Well, we can get a bid from somebody. I guess we could. Yeah. Yeah, we probably wouldn't hurt to do that because it should be done.
And I don't know how about the grader either. As you know, we worked on that for quite a while just trying to get it up because it has a switch that doesn't work.
Yeah, right.
Is it still sitting up by?
No, we moved
no.
it.
The door's closed on
it? We moved it yesterday.
No, the door fell off.
Jody, what kind of money
so it's not closed, no.
for equipment?
I had it fell off, started to hang off, and Brent called me and said he was holding on to it. I had to hop in my Jeep, drive down, and undo the door so it wouldn't sit there and bang around.
I talked to Paul last night about that. I brought it up, and he said, yeah, well, the door fell off on me here a while back. Use it, too. He said, remember I told you? And I remember vaguely now him saying I was late getting down there or something because the door fell off and had to put it back on.
See, I never heard any of this.
Well, he told me that last night.
So anyway, okay.
So do you want that to be on the signage to get a bid? Or?
Well, I'll get with Brent and see if he can get a bid from somebody to change the oil because that's too much for him to do.
Well, yeah.
Because we've got to do it on the generator, too.
Can we pay Brent?
A member?
Yeah, we can definitely pay Brent. He doesn't seem to want to accept money, but I think we should make some kind of arrangement to deposit money at the parts store.
He'll give away his time, but he doesn't want anybody to take his time.
And I agree, but I think the way to do it is we'll just donate some money to the parts store where he buys parts, so when he goes to pay for something, he'll have a couple hundred dollars of credit available.
Who do you put a bid into that? Someone at the ranch already? Or
we can ask Cosby or, you know, is it Mike Cosby that does that?
Or does Mike Cosby come out to do that?
We can ask, yeah.
He doesn't come out to do it, but there are people there.
There are people.
I would say that would be a great opportunity if we're going to pay somebody anyway, that if we hire a ranch manager when they come out, they can come out. We pay a professional to come out, and he can go with the professional to go to change the oil on all the machines. And so he's training our man for us.
And I agree with that, but I think we should do it before we hire anybody, and then when somebody comes on, the next time it's due for a change, then have them show them one more time, and then he can take over from there. Because, yeah, we want to train them properly. So I'll call Brent and see if he can get some bids and see who can come out. So that takes care of the oil change on the backhoe, the truck. A cabin 3 for a rain gutter, we'll have to wait till we hire a new manager because we're not going to get anything done there.
And the generator.
And the generator. We have to. If Brent does anything, we'll do the generator because we can't lose that. And the last item was pertaining to Brad here. The 2.5 miles of fence needs to be repaired. I understand you bought some material.
I'll speak to that too.
Okay. That's all on that stuff then.
Were you talking about the diesel generator in the oil field?
Yeah, we ought to change the oil on that. Technically, we should change the oil on everything at least twice a year because oil is a sponge to moisture in the air. So even if the oil is not changed, it'll absorb enough moisture out of the air to ruin the oil. So
you're in the synthetic oil?
Well, the synthetics they don't collect that. They do much better. That's why you can go, you know, a lot longer on your synthetic oils. They don't absorb the moisture out of the air. But we can't afford to have something go down from the lack of oil or dirty oil.
Yeah.
Oil's cheap compared to a new motor.
For sure.
Okay, number 3, review the decisions of last month's agenda. Phil had some certain things he wanted to talk about. I don't know really what they were, so I'd say let's table that until January, other than the newsletter. We got it going, I understand.
Yeah, it started, but we need, and I guess you can ask, we need to have a Christmas greeting to put into the newsletter. And we could go ahead and compose it and then send it out for approval if you want.
Agreed to that. I agree to that. Anybody else got it?
I don't have a problem with that, but I thought Phil was going to put together a Christmas/President's message. So.
Exactly. And we need to have that because that will go out with our invoices, which go out at the 1st of December.
Do you have a date that you want to have that done by?
Last week.
Yeah,
by the end of this week would be good. Which would be what, the 17th? 18th. Yes, it is. By the 18th.
Okay.
Weren't we saying the newsletter's going to go out, the bills need to go out the 1st of December?
Correct.
Aren't we sending the newsletter at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
But if we get everything in by the 18th, then it can be composed and drafted and printed and all that. We'll have to do that without having to go on to Thanksgiving weekend.
Okay.
Jody, you want to call Phil on that and see if he's willing to put something up or if he's got something planned or what?
If he doesn't, then I'm happy to write something. Mine might be a little more boring.
And he was
going to send the president's message in the newsletter.
One thing we've learned about you, Barry, you're not boring.
Well, and Phil likes to dictate it, you know, and then often I type it up for him afterwards, you know, so... Yeah, somebody will contact Phil.
Okay. We'll wait for that.
Is there anybody else that wants to put anything in the newsletter?
I still have a little thing I'm
going to
put in there.
We need to do that. Send it to them.
We're working on something, too.
Oh,
I think they have that on the list, though.
Okay.
Joe's going to work on something, too.
So it's all by the 18th.
By the 18th, right?
You got a mouse in your pocket or
something? By the 18th,
right?
Right,
by the 18th. I'm glad you guys all have your personal secretaries here, so I'm going to change
that. Okay, moving on. I wanted to, the next section is, here it is. The Ranch Report, which we don't have Nancy and Paul here, so there is
can
one.
I?
Sure.
Thank you.
That's the Ranch
forwarded,
Report.
I forwarded her report. She gave me, she asked me if she had to be here because she wanted to go to the last ball game for her son. I guess it's not PIA or something today. I said, sure, no problem, but can you give me a breakdown of what you've done and what have you? So she emailed it and I forwarded it.
I got that and read it.
I didn't get it.
Yes, you did. I read it.
You got that and you read it.
Okay. You can be excused.
So that'll be Nancy's report right there. That I forwarded that so I wouldn't have to stand here and bore you with my interpretation.
Yes. I noticed on the list something about the flatbed. She had it in the mic yesterday. Did she say anything to you about that or day before?
The flatbed?
It's on the list. They're on
the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah, the brakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on
the list.
She had to take the pickup, a ranch truck in.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, apparently it has a speed sensor going bad, and I just put a new one in mine. Mm. The Ford trucks like to. Like new speed sensors from time to time.
Okay.
Under $200.
I didn't know
the flatbed pickup.
The flatbed pickup.
Oh, excuse me.
I don't know about the black flatbed.
The Ford was in because it was getting renewed. Its license was being
renewed.
Well,
she did that also. But there was some other issue.
I have a report right here for you to read it. Would you read it into the minutes? Okay. Cabins have been booked. I've been keeping them stocked and making sure keys are available. I'm mostly trying to get everything done by myself. Kids are at school and Paul's at his new job. Consequently, it's taking longer than I thought. I anticipate being finished with everything I want done at the ranch, other than stocking cabins when rented, by Thanksgiving weekend. The house should be cleaned this coming week. I have 4 cabins left to bag up and bug bomb. The comfort stop has been winterized. The pigs are still at the ranch. They will be going to slaughter on November 26th. And she has also emailed several applications to people interested in the job.
Okay.
She leave her dogs out there until the pigs are gone because she's afraid the pigs will get attacked if the dogs are not there.
Dogs are gone now.
Are they gone now?
Yeah.
The pigs are
except gone. For 2 little puppies. And they'll be gone tomorrow.
The pigs.
We're feeding the pigs the dogs.
Okay. So the rest of the ranch report, I'd like to go over some of the stuff that Brent put on, and we'll cover that. He's got 13 items. We're going to have to look into them. The brakes are frozen on the trailer, which I never
heard
of.
He's working on today.
He's working on that today? Okay. And he's got here that the battery is bad on the trash trailer. My question is, I think at one time I donated a small solar panel to keep the battery charged because it doesn't get used all the time. And the only way to charge the battery on that trailer is your car hooked up to it with a cord. So I think we ought to buy another solar panel that charges the batteries.
The trailer needs a lot of work.
That way, because otherwise it's going to put wear and tear on the generator and on the truck.
If you want to take my solar panel off the generator section.
That's about the size we need.
Then you can do that and use it.
Yeah, because you don't need it anymore. You're hooked to the big ones. Okay.
But we probably ought to get a battery for that.
Yes.
Are we talking about trash trailer?
Yeah. Down by the ranch house?
That operates the hydraulics, too.
Down by the ranch. Yeah, it operates the dump the trash.
We have money for all this?
Well, if we use her solar panel, we don't need any money. We'll just steal it off of her.
No, yeah. He has suggested.
Oh, the battery. We need a battery, yeah.
Well, that's $100 and some change.
Just a regular Group 24 12-volt battery will work. Yeah. Like one out of a Corvette will work just fine.
Yep. You have one?
Yeah. They're both brand new.
Okay. $100 and some change for a battery.
You'll donate that?
But I'll donate the battery.
Okay.
Battery from Al and a panel. From Jody. From
John Cox might be able to get you one for a good price.
From Bob
Anderson.
Okay. Well, that takes care of that. The garden cabin, he suggests that we winterize it because there's nobody there anymore. And let's close it up and get it over with. We'll just use, what do you use, 7 or 8 you use normally?
Yeah, I've already talked to him about
okay,
that.
Okay, so we'll winterize cabin. The garden cabin.
It needs to be winterized by this weekend because we've got a big cold.
Yeah,
Brent said he was going to do that. Yeah. Okay. So the ranch house, we ought to winterize that, but he's never done that, he said. So I don't know. Have you checked with him on winterizing the ranch house?
He talked to me extensively on that. There's a leaking false hydrant there and everything. It's going to have to be. Because it's going to freeze up and cause problems. So he has to He wants to know if that's what we want to do.
Yes, we do.
We should try to fix that faucet.
The faucet's got to be fixed.
Yeah. We got to fix the faucet. And we have to winterize the ranch.
And we have to shut the fire. He has to find the thing to shut the water off, because we have to shut the water off to that out by the barn.
It's
in place. And,
Now, I made some shutoffs for the one in the 40,000 gallon tank. Are they the same size? I originally made those for the ranch.
I don't know.
And they've used them?
I don't know anything about the shutoff.
I don't know.
But let me say this. These faucets are down about 4 feet.
Yeah, I made a 4 foot extension for those.
These are not, this is right against the fence. There's no way to get it back.
We got to dig it by hand.
It's going to have to be dug by hand.
I can help him when I go out there. I'm going to go out there this week.
And that's a, another thing for Brent, you know.
Yeah, I can help him dig that. So.
Well, maybe there should be a coordination, because we're going to go out probably Monday to help John and Brent with all these items. And if you're there, too,
yeah, we'll be there.
Coordinate how you're going to get all this done.
Okay.
List.
And then Brent's mentioning here.
He'd like to have an answer back on that. You know, Brent, he'll get uptight if he didn't get something back saying, yeah.
Yeah, I say let's do it.
Several people have already emailed it back.
That's what we're going to do. It. Yeah.
So.
And he has, he's going to shut the solar down on the ranch house. He's going to leave the inverter, just leave it on so the battery's charged, because the battery's got to be kept charged all winter long or they'll freeze. So, yes, on the solar also for the ranch house. And then the he's asked about the generator to be serviced for the well, and yes, we should. I don't know when it's been done. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Where everything was shut down, the upper cabins, the Wi-Fi's off, the solar's all taken care of?
I think so. We need to think all the upper cabins are done.
Yeah, the upper cabins are done, yeah. But the Wi-Fi's not part of the cabins.
The upper cabins are, that's all done, and the water tank has been drained up there, but there's a 4,000-gallon water tank in there that didn't drain.
Which one is that?
The upper cabin. He said there's a reserve one up there.
That's for firefighting, and it didn't drain?
Is it?
Well, he purposely didn't drain it. He kind of wanted to know if that's what we wanted to do. The only problem, if he didn't drain it, is there's a pipe there. But the pipe is 3 feet under the ground. It shouldn't be a problem. But if should freeze, it would be a big problem.
Yes, it would.
Because that's where that pipe comes down to the intersection there where you go to the cabins, and it's right there, the hydrant.
And come on. It had a leak in it before.
So if he thinks we should drain it, I say, let's go ahead and do it, the tank.
Yeah, he said, do you want to just waste 4,000 gallons? I said, well, how deep is this?
I'd rather waste the 4,000 gallons and damage the tank.
Because it's going to be a major fix if it breaks.
Yeah, let's drain it. If
it's not drained.
If he thinks we should, let's do it.
It's not drained.
The fire truck is full?
I don't know.
Well, I don't think you leave it full during the winter.
The fire truck is
full? Well, it shouldn't be full. It's got all kinds of pipes in it.
Yeah.
Water, but.
Did you talk to him about the fire truck?
I did not. Didn't think of it.
Ask him,
I won't ask him about that anyway, so I'll ask him.
Ask him first. We should drain that too then.
I'll ask him about the fire truck.
You and John need to go down and fill your tanks up with water.
That's not a bad idea.
Also, we've got to get that log splitter and lock it up someplace. That thing is out in the back in the weather.
Can you just put it in that container right next to it?
I'm afraid that somebody might borrow that, you know.
The container?
No. I know that you'd like to have another container, but if you steal it, I don't want the log splitter to go.
Well, you see, Brent, ask him if he's got enough oil for everything. If we're going to change oil in the generator, do we have it at the ranch? Or if I come up, I can bring some up from Vegas.
Well, that's fine. I do not know.
Ask him, let me know, give me an email, and I'll bring some oil up if I come up.
I got to pick up an oil filter for him today for the backhoe. Because he's going to change that, he said.
Okay. Number six, he's talking about the pipe being exposed. He can cover it with dirt. Yes, we should.
If it's going to get washed away, we'll have to cover it again, I guess.
I don't think it'll get washed away in the winter.
No, it should. It should be.
It'll stay in the spring.
Okay.
Which pipe are we talking about?
Coming down the road next to the between the two cabins.
Oh, in between.
Yeah.
8 and 9?
Yeah.
The old
down
8 and 9?
7 and 8.
9 and 10.
Yeah, 8 and 8 and 9 and
7
and
8. 8 and
9
coming down the
9
road.
And 10 and 7 and 8.
So say that again. So again, which pipe
exposed
between?
It's on the road as you drive up the hill to the cabins, to the lower cabins up the hill. Apparently the pipeline has been exposed.
It's exposed, so it's exposed every spring because of the runoff.
The runoff is so fast through there, yeah.
Okay,
and number seven, he's got the for equipment. He's mentioned the grader and the backhoe. And there again, the oil gauge, the gas fitting, we already talked about that, so that has to be taken care of. And he said he had the fittings, he would go ahead and change it because I already took it out for him, so he'll just get a new one to put in there.
Oil fitting, grease fitting.
Grease fitting.
I have two boxes of them of assortment, brand new ones.
I would say we should order a new oil gauge for that unit. I don't want an oil gauge fading in and out.
Yeah, it's fading. Yeah, I agree.
Now, it's got two gauges. I've got an idiot light on it and an oil gauge. The idiot light was working properly. The needle gauge actually quit.
They call me the idiot.
So we'll take care of that.
You definitely want a gauge. You don't want just the light.
You might want to make a note there that, since equipment maintenance is yours, the air compressor that the ranch has there, apparently somebody knocked it over and broke it. It won't.
Really?
Yeah.
That's new.
Huh?
Yes. And that's new.
It's new, but it won't work. And Paul said it was on the deck there by the tool shed.
The tool shed?
And he had, last time he used it, he put it there, it was working fine. Somebody else forgot who it was now, told me that they had aired up their tires there, but left it sit there.
That was me.
Yeah.
And
that was working then, but after that point,
Paul
must have knocked it over.
And never said anything.
So it sounds like you're telling me Brad knocked it over and broke it, he's going to replace it.
Well, I think it's admirable of him to just volunteer to take the blame.
It can't be fixed? Have you looked at it? Can't be fixed? Nothing can be welded?
I haven't looked at it. I've seen it alone in my air compressor so he can get his work done.
You going back there today or tomorrow?
Yeah.
Can you take a look at it? If it needs a new one, let me know. And if it's something that can be welded or, you know, if it's
I'm not an expert air compressor guy, but...
No, you can see if
something...
I'll look at it and see if we can see...
Well, the thing about that air compressor, if you're going to be winterizing anything, you need it.
He's been using my air compressor.
Use your broken eye look and see if it's broken or can't work or be fixed or buy a new part for it rather than a whole new one.
Yeah.
Okay. Number eight, he's got cabin 7 and 8. I suggest that after November 25th or Thanksgiving, whatever day it falls on, Thursday, whichever Thursday that is, when the cabin's gone, I think we ought to winterize it and shut it down until we hire new people. I don't think we should leave 7 and 8 open anymore.
We have one reservation in December. I believe it's the 2nd through the 9th. But that's kind of a floating one by itself. So up until then, through Thanksgiving, I have the cabins reserved, both of them on and off through then. And then just that one floating.
We need to check on firewood for those then.
It says there's firewood.
It says there's firewood. Nancy says there's enough firewood for that.
Really? Well, okay. I don't know where it is because I went back there where the log splitter is and I saw none split. I saw some logs that are this big around that are not split.
We'll put it on the list.
So the question is then, do we want to leave it open one more time for December? If Brent's there to winterize it when they leave, but we got to shut it down.
Is that a definite
after that.
Reservation?
It is a definite reservation. Okay. They have paid.
Then leave it.
For what day is that?
I want to say, I'm sorry, I didn't bring it with me. Second through the ninth, I think it is.
Okay.
One cabin could be shut down.
So after that, we want to shut it down.
Yeah, we could shut down the last one this year.
After that, shut down until the new managers are hired.
If Brent's shutting it down, we can just leave it to his discretion.
Okay.
You can shut them both down at the same time, or one, and then the other, whatever he wants.
Do you have something, Linda?
May I make a suggestion? Most of you have a motorhome or something like that. In between these usages, in the cold of the winter, between the middle of November and the middle of April, they should be filled with the green, with the pink antifreeze, and, right, and kept from having a problem like that, even the ones that are made to be used in the winter time, and then just cleaned out. You know,
yeah, but it's the water going in, too. You have to shut off and drain. Yeah,
I know. And but it should be shut down in between, and then you're not going to have problems with them when you turn them on for spring. I know that would be extra expense, and you've already initiated a $100 winter reservation fee, right? Mm-hmm. And that would be
wow.
That's if they reopen the cabin or whatever.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I'm only talking about not having that available until we have a new manager.
Oh, yeah. I know, but what my point is like you want to, on the equipment, make sure that the new manager, this is what we do and this is how we do it, yeah, right at the beginning. This is what I'm talking about on the cabins. That it ought to be, this is how we handle it in the winter and this, yeah, is what we do. That's just the way it is.
I kind of think, well, Linda's driving that a little bit here. We got, what, a week or two between rentals,
and
it isn't going to sit there and not freeze if it gets cold enough.
Right.
Between the 2 weeks, that's her point.
And what the cabins, what the managers used to do, if they had a span like that, they'd go up and turn on a couple of the lights, which would help keep it warm enough, and there wouldn't be.
They actually had a propane heater in the bathroom.
And that too.
Going all the
time.
Too.
So. To keep it from going in between, but yeah, in, for those that when we have a span like that, it should be shut all down. All shut down like a motorhome.
Did that equipment though, the heater, propane heater, belong to the ranch, or did that belong to somebody else?
It's the ranch's.
It is the ranch's.
It was just sitting in it. You walked into cabin 7 or 8, to the left is the bathroom. It was sitting right there.
I assume it's the ranch's. Mm-hmm. It should still be there.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Is it running off the 300-gallon tank, or off of a little portable 5-gallon tank?
I think it's a portable tank that they put in there with the battery, with the heater.
Is that one of those Mr.
Heaters? Oh, it's a Mr. Heater, probably off of a 5-gallon.
Yeah, Mr. Heaters, they're simple little things. But she's right about that. Today somebody moves out of it. 2 weeks from now, somebody's got a reservation. Within that 2 weeks, we probably ought to have our RV. RV antifreeze in the plumbing there. The water is a different thing. You'd have to shut that off and drain it and turn it on just before they come. But,
right. But
it can break in those 2 weeks. And then when they arrive there and get there, they say, well, I'm sorry, you know, it just broke, but I come from New York.
But were you thinking also like closing in January and February because Brent isn't going to be there.
We seldom have reservations.
But just to make sure that no one just calls in.
Yeah, but from that point on, we should from just call
in. In the past, we have had a few reservations in February and March. So I think it would behoove us to
maybe in the newsletter state something to that effect, if you agree to that.
I think we could just put closed on there and it wouldn't be a question.
Okay.
And one of those February ones this week, because that's when my birthday is.
So then do I understand correctly, I'm going to go ahead at this point and I'm going to close essentially those cabins that have not been made reserved for beginning Thanksgiving week through to the one that we already have scheduled and pretty much on out until
April 1st.
I would say April 1st, yeah.
Okay.
May 15 is when we open.
Make it April 10th. It's my birthday. I'll be someplace else.
They typically open those cabins on Memorial Weekend, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's the upper
cabins. May 15th is when we open them.
Yeah, it's May.
But that's all the cabins.
Right.
The lower cabins.
Yeah, lower cabins.
They stayed open all winter long.
The two stayed open all winter, typically, and then everything else opened on May.
So for this year, what I think we ought to do is just basically after the reservations that are already done, just set an April 1st date for even the cabin 7 and 8. We have people in place because we're not going to have anybody up there for those months to handle them or babysit them or check on them, that kind of stuff.
So tentatively, beginning April 1st, cabin and 8 could be available for reservation. But if I were to receive something, I would still need to let them know it will be on a semi-pending basis.
Well, I just don't want to make too many commitments not knowing what we've got. I mean, I think we'll have we'll have somebody in place and everything will be smooth and great. But
who's having an 8 until the rest of them open, which is the 15th of May?
Yeah, because the rest of them aren't going to open until May anyway. We should be.
Just do that one. And then if you get a ranch manager, then you can open them earlier.
Open as many as
I believe on. I heard Paul say on those two cabins, when it was really cold, he would have to go up there that we're keeping open and turn the water.
Yeah, they trickle water through the night on the really bad night. So
they're just freeze up.
They also put hay against the sand pipes and things like that too.
They were babysitting them every day.
They did. And if there's nobody there, it's just better to drain and blow them out and put antifreeze in.
Moving along. Number 9 he's got here. Should we put Brent on the credit card for Lumber Plus in case he has to buy something? Yeah. I believe we should.
Why wouldn't we?
Yeah, why wouldn't we? I believe we should.
And Napa.
Whatever, wherever Paul's buying, we should have Brent buy.
And make sure that past ranch managers' names are taken off.
Should we take the names off completely?
Yes, we should take them.
As of what? Today? Tomorrow?
Do you guys talk about that?
Monday?
Yeah, current communication.
Well, Paul is officially gone.
Yeah, so he should be off the. We should call Lumber Plus and the parts stores and say take Paul off the list.
Does she need any more rat poison or anything?
And put. Only put Brent on it.
We may need to wait just a little bit.
Yeah, I think we should give her till Thanksgiving when she starts.
For Nancy and Paul?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if she needs rat poison or anything else,
she can still make those purchases. I'm going to keep her alive until the end of the month.
Okay. Let's do that.
Okay, Linda brought up a point. First, Brent already knows that he's on the Napa and the...
I don't think Brent knows that he's on. He is on, though.
Oh, he asked... That was a question he asked if he could be on.
So he's already on that and Lumber Plus. And I say, okay, well, take off Paul and Nancy at the same time and make sure he's on there. But if Paul and Nancy come back to help us out here and there a little bit, we should leave them on there. And they get an email right away that says a purchase has been made. So we can monitor that good. Or do you guys want that or not?
Don't
want
you
that?
They're only going to be there training new people, so there would be no reason to have everybody on. Do you think?
I think we should just leave them there because they'll be back up to do things that need to be done. They have no reason to want to just leave us cold and not be available. And their plan is to help whatever they can. They'd love to help train the new people even. So I think we should just leave them on there. I'm not concerned about it. We've been watching the bills for 10 years, and I think we're good. So. And like I said, if we get an email from Lumber Plus in particular, we get an email as soon as somebody charges something there. So.
Well, Brad made the suggestion, keep them on until basically December 1st, end of the month of November, and then go from there.
I think while they're there, then that's fine. They're going to obviously be there moving things in and out, and we're asking her to take care of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I would take them off, and because we've got Brent, and we'll have other people on in the spring to be able to charge things. So,
well, I guess the thing I see is like after Brent's going to take care of part of the stuff, but if Nancy's down there doing some of the work, or comes back in December, or we don't want to send Brent back to town to get parts and Nancy go, hey, I'm here.
Right.
Can I pick this up? So maybe leave her on there, leave them on there until we know we're good and maybe then take them off.
I guess it comes down to expectation, which I'm a little foggy on, as far as when we identify and hire somebody new, my understanding that we were basically going to be done with any help from the Bradens this about Thanksgiving time and then move on from there, other than maybe call and ask questions. Is that
train the new people?
Well, Brent really wants to be involved in their training.
Does that make sense?
And so that's at least the last discussion I was involved in. We were going to rely on Brent to do the training and get that up to speed rather than dragging them back out there or having to worry about that. Did I miss something along the way?
No, you're right.
No, you're good.
So I think we leave them on through Thanksgiving, take them off just so we don't have, it's not a trust issue, it's just covering our backsides and saying, okay,
and then move on from there and determine, you know, who and when we hire the manager and have friends.
Can we move that past the date that there's people in the cabin?
Yes. Well, whatever.
Rather than Thanksgiving, they're there until December.
Well, how long, I guess this is part of my fogginess. My understanding was
she's gone. So the cabins are essentially ready for them to come in. So they come in, they close their linens. So we have linens that aren't washed, and the cabins get closed down. So we don't need a ranch manager, to check them guys in or out. Once they're gone, they're gone.
Right, but they are there till December or something.
She set up the cabins with Brent, and they have an arrangement with fresh linens, a couple of changes in the closet in bins, so that he can go in and make those trades. They're not planning on being here. They're offering, but they're not planning on.
When are they? They're going to be physically moved out
by Thanksgiving. According to her email,
just make this transition December 1st and be done. Does that make sense?
Does it make?
Okay.
I agree. December 1st.
Okay.
Firewood. Nancy says there's enough firewood for the lower cabins.
I don't know where it is.
You don't know where it is?
I went back, as I said, I was in the back looking at the...
Brent said he hasn't checked it, but he says it is.
Any split firewood. I only saw logs that could be split. Yes, they're firewood, but it's logs, and it won't fit in the door.
Well, and he said something about it's not seasoned either.
No, he just wanted to.
I haven't gone up and looked in the little shed up near the cabin. Maybe they're full. I don't know.
It's been empty all summer long.
Well, yeah, as far as I can tell, and I'll look again. But I was looking to see if there was some firewood. I didn't see it.
I'll take it off my list if you're going to take
it. Who won?
You look and see again then.
Well, yeah, I'll go. I got to go by there in the morning anyway. All right. Feed dogs and hogs.
Okay. And Brent's got another sentence here which kind of caught me off guard. He's got the, when was the chimneys swept last? I don't know. He said he sweeps his all the time. My cabin's been there for 22 years. When he said he sweeps his all the time, my mind started going like I couldn't sleep. So first time I got up there, I climbed up on the roof and I pulled it off, and there's nothing in there. It's just
clean.
I lose more hair shaving than what soots in that pipe. But I only burn cedar.
Well, that's
no, I'm sorry, I burn cedar and oak. It's all I burn. I don't burn pine.
Yeah. Depends on the wood you burn.
Yeah.
Right.
If the ashes adhere to the chimney, they need to be clean. Yeah. If you're burning the clean wood, that doesn't have that.
I burn 100% cedar and oak and some mesquite from Vegas, but I don't burn pine at all. And my chimney of 21, 22 years is clean.
Yeah, but what about the cabins?
We should probably
if the cabins are using pine. That's what I'm afraid of. I don't know if they got to be swept or not.
The younger the wood, the more moisture is still in it. It goes up with the heat and
so old guys rule, huh?
Yeah, old guys rule.
So I guess we should.
Don't pick on the young
guys.
For those
of you that have been on the board, have we ever swept the chimneys in the cabins?
I've never heard of it.
Ever and since 1970?
I've never seen it done or heard of it being done. So.
I think it would be nice to have a check. But if we're going to worry about that, I think with the amount of use we have left this year, I wouldn't worry about it.
No.
That's something springtime.
From spring. We should check it in the spring. So put that for the spring. We should check at least one or two cabins. I agree.
Yeah.
No, I think all of them. They haven't been done since the beginning. We need to get them all done.
Inventory of tools. He doesn't know, really. You know, I made the suggestion that we get some paint and start painting all of the ranch tools a specific color. That way, when someone takes a tool, we know...
That's a great idea.
If it's ours or his or theirs or the guy down the street.
From this point forward, we should have an inventory of any new tool
bought,
and it goes on.
And whatever we buy, we should put it
spread with pictures and logging.
Yeah.
We should paint it with a color.
We've had an inventory.
I'll get with Brent and John and myself. We'll look into that. As far as security, lock everything up. We should.
Yes.
Or the keys for... The cabins have been turned into you, or Brent?
They have not been turned into me yet.
Because we put all those new locks on, we better control those keys.
Well, yes, and you're supposed to get a set, and they're supposed to get a set.
But they have not been turned in to me yet.
Well, get with Paul and find out where they're at and where we can secure them.
Should that be you two have a set?
We need to have Brent have a set, too.
Yeah. Brent should have a set. There's only three sets, I think. So
one
Brent and
Brent. Do we want
Brent?
We want
would be
Mariah
the most important because he's there all the time.
You're over cabin, so you should get the set. And then Mariah, and then Brent. Same thing with the back hold. Brent should have those keys. You should have a key.
I should have a key to that because they usually come to me for that. Those machines.
I don't want a key to that back hold.
The other question was all the new security cameras that we had put up, are they all functioning? Did they all get put up?
No, they're still up. I see them out there because I mentioned it earlier, they're still up.
Well, nothing's missing or broken. Maybe we should go around, take all the chips out, erase them, and put them back in.
I don't even know where some of them are heading. Paul had them like around the ranch house there, and they're heading.
Can you ask Paul where they're at? Let's take the chips out. Let's erase them and put them back in for the winter.
You don't tell anybody where they're at because the thief, if there's a thief, he's going to walk around the camera. But anyway, I know where the ones on the road are.
Okay.
But I don't know what he did with the ones around the ranch.
Well, we should check that out so that whoever new we have coming on, we're on top of it. And it's no longer just what Paul's doing anymore.
Okay, so that takes care of Brent's report as far as the ranch goes. Number five, we got Jody Akers for what cabins cost. Fees and related charges.
Well, let me just mix up my little thing there a little bit because let me put them in a different order. Okay, so let's talk about.
Wait, past security. We are putting them back up with chips in them, correct?
We're gonna have to pull them out, erase them, and put them back in. Yeah.
Well, just keep the chips, but give the chips to Bob and put new ones in.
Different camera.
This is the ranch house for security, not for the road.
Oh, okay. Security ones need to be there. The Coxes had their cabin broken into towards the end of August, beginning of September.
Who did?
Cox. Don and Shauna. I just found that in before yesterday. Their cabin was broken into. They think of the kids because it's tangled, it's thrown all over, and the expensive things weren't gone. So they think it was kids. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering who it could be, and I have some thoughts on it, but nevertheless, we need to have especially if we don't have a ranch manager there, we need to have security cameras up. Yeah.
Well, but we couldn't run some out to Cox's. I have my own camera.
We don't need to run it out to Cox's. Just put it on the road, whatever goes up that road.
Yeah, I told them, I said, you need to get a live feed like what they've got on some of the other lights, like on your lot. You've got a live feed, and then you can see what's going on. I told her you ought to do that, but just in general, around the ranch house and we're up near the pumps. And
they're up there, but I haven't looked for them. Paul said I kept it a secret.
Well, and I understand that. I understand that, but probably need batteries put in them for the winter and new chips, just because who knows what might happen without anybody out there and if people know that.
Well, that's what they were saying. They just want to make sure they're updated in terms of take out the new pictures, put them back in, and make everything functional.
Still,
don't want to remove them.
Okay, well,
it's a great idea.
I think that chocolate's going to your brain.
I didn't eat any yet. No.
Brent's also mentioned locking the front gate.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's a good idea.
That after we winterize everything, that would be December after December 9th, I guess.
Gate. Somewhere right there.
After December 9th, when everything's done, we'll lock the gate so they can't even get in that area. Yes. Okay, Jody, you're up.
Okay. I think the password's practice.
Thank you.
All lowercase. Yeah, try it. I don't use the.
Okay. As far as the. Let's talk about our current budget, where we're at with everything. I get my profit loss a couple days before this one's printed for the meeting. So I can do my stuff and do my numbers. So your number is going to be a little bit different. And I was like, I was just going to get the bottom line again. Ryan just looked at it. But anyway, so we're doing okay. We've got between the three bank accounts, we have about $30,000 in there. We've got an income from you coming in for about $6,000 sometimes. So that's the only other income we really have coming in. If we get any assessments or past dues or whatever, we're lucky. But this is it coming in now. So with that, let me back up a little bit. The banks are about $28,000 with his income as another $6,000. So that brings us to about $33,800. Now we have reserve accounts in our budget every year to set aside money to go into the big ticket items that need to be replaced or repaired in a few years. So that's $3,800. So we're basically about $30,000 in the black then, and then we have about $16,000 yet to go out, leaving us about $13,700 for the rest of the year. That's okay. Makes me nervous at this point because we're down to the wire. And then whatever we hire out, whatever management fees. Now, I am thinking we are done in all departments except for little stuff here and there. We have to keep with our scope of our areas. So if anybody else is going to make any bigger purchases, I need to know this because this is what we're dealing with now. And we've got property tax yet to pay. But that's including that $16,000 that we still have yet to pay. And that's,
Your report may show property tax in there already.
Oh, did you pay it? No. Oh, no. But it you're the new one, the P&L, your new P&L might.
The new one may.
Yes, you did post that. Okay. So, yeah, mine does not show that yet.
Okay.
But, so with that, the same numbers, $16,000, now we're down, we only owe $11,000 with that being paid. So we need to be really, really careful. We are, if you look at the P&L, we have spent over in departments. So most of these things, so I'm asking again now, most of those things should be already bought and done, so we are sitting pretty and just do minor repairs or what you guys
need. The only thing I can think that we need is if Brad tells me that air compressor is junk and we need to buy a new one.
Yeah.
And then maybe...
Since we've already accounted for our reserve accounts again, maybe we have enough to buy those tires for the
backhoe.
So I don't know much.
Did you deduct Americas?
Yeah, took that into account too. I put on another $2,100.
How do we install those?
You have to have them.
You have to have them done. You can't.
So does that same person do maintenance and whatever?
Yeah. No, you'll have to hire a company to come out.
They can put the tires
on
it.
The people who sell it. No, because they have to be filled with water and everything else. And then you have to have something to lift those tires.
I think what we should do is at the ranch, the backhoe should be at the ranch. We should take the tire off, use the backhoe, pick it up, throw it in the back of our trailer, and haul the tire to the repairman. We'll save a lot of money.
There you go. But what are you going to do about the water that's in it? How are you going to?
Watering the tire?
Yeah, they attract.
Whoever's going to repair it is going to put the new tire on.
Yeah, but if you're going to put it in the back, those tires are big.
He said backhoe.
They put it in the back of our truck with their backhoe. We take it off of our truck with our backhoe. The backhoe will work without a tire. The landing gear, the landing support gears will support the vehicle. Swing over the bucket, take it off, drop it on the ground.
So we don't pay somebody to come to the ranch.
Yeah, we don't have to pay somebody a two-hour windshield time driving up and back.
I don't understand the problem.
But this tire is going to weigh about 1,000, 1,200 pounds with the water in it, and that rim maybe more than that. And we have something to move that around.
The backhoe and the Kubota, I would think.
That'll move it. You get it there, but you're not going to be able to use a backhoe to just move that thing around and get the lug right and set it on there. You're going to have something, and you're not going to do it with a pry bar.
Can you put the backhoe on the flatbed and just take the whole backhoe in and have them change it?
Well, you could do that.
Is that cheaper than having somebody come out?
I would imagine.
Would that flatbed hold that backhoe?
Yes. Pretty sturdy flatbed.
Oh, yeah, that equipment trailer.
Yeah.
But they put a lot of water out there. It's probably going to be well over 100 gallons of water in it, and that's 700 pounds and some change right there, almost 800 pounds just in water.
Okay.
Per tire.
Okay. We have I'll make a phone call on the guy that has it, that does
water
that, and I'll find out what
2 pounds per gallon. I know that because that was my business.
Okay.
So why doesn't that freeze?
Huh?
Why doesn't that freeze?
But they got an antifreeze with it.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a mixture inside the tire.
It is. Okay. Wow. I never knew that.
Okay, Jen.
Okay, so back to the budget. Okay. So everybody keep in mind, the rule of the board for different departments is you can spend up to $1,000 per without asking the board approval. But once it goes over the 1,000, you need to bring it to the board and ask them for the approval on it. And especially, well, all the time. And then especially if we're over the budget on the departments, which we are a lot now, but we're still okay, but bring it to the board for that. Okay, I just wanted to go over that. So do you, everybody know that already?
I don't know that I know it, but I spent $3,800 without telling the board after the fact.
If I would have known, I just would have spent $999 and then I would have spent $600.
The point is, you want to keep a track of what's in the budget, what money's there, and what's in the
department. Yeah, you told me what my budget was, and I use it.
Okay. Well, you know.
You know, I'm a manager. You ask me to manage, yes. I'll manage.
And I think there was a discussion
on that,
too.
It takes so much time to go through a board at Hum Halls.
At the last meeting last year, November 2015, Barry was there, Phil was conducting the meeting, and the decision was made you can spend up to 50%
of your budget
in that particular area.
Oh,
without
everybody,
you weren't there, you're teleconferencing.
Without
that other approval, as long as you're not already over budget. Yes, but that was already made in that meeting. Barry was there, Joe, John, Jeff.
Okay, I was correct.
Phil.
I corrected that. So you can spend up to 50%, but make sure if you're at your budget or know you're there, then bring it back to the board for approval so we know where the money's coming from and we know
where it's going.
If we have it. If we have it, really, basically.
Okay.
Any question on the P&L at all?
No.
Okay, good.
I have one question, just your best guess. January 1st, are we going to have any surplus from this year from 2016 that can be applied to 2017 to make up the difference?
Might be like $10,000.
Okay.
I didn't spend all of my money. You can use some of it if you're nice.
I know we'd rather set it aside for reserve, but there's some things that need to happen, and with the budget we've discussed.
No, we'll have right now, without anything more being spent, except for our normal bills that are coming in and the propane, and I included the $1,600 for the fencing, the board insurance, the property tax, we should have $13,700 left over minus whatever we send out for whatever
compressor changes
now. So I'm thinking
maybe some oil changes might be another.
Maybe $8,000 to $10,000, depending on what it is.
And we put that in a reserve account, and that's what we ended up buying the tractor.
Well, $3,800 of that goes into a reserve account already.
Yeah.
But then this goes into our savings account. Okay.
We could probably spend close to $1,000 with all the oil changes and filters for all the equipment if we
that
do that.
That would be fine.
That would be probably about in that range. Not counting labor if we farm it out.
Okay. Any other questions on the P&L on that part? Okay.
And that's without having to put out a salary?
Without having to put out a salary. So whatever the higher fees that we do to subcontract will have to come out of that.
And I think you also need to talk in the executive session about any bonuses or any monies to be given to the end of the year.
I have that on my notes.
Good.
Okay. So, all right. Okay, the other thing that I brought today, I don't remember if I sent this via email to a couple to go through. I do have the policy here for the directors and officers. I'd like to get that signed and paid today and get it implemented as soon as possible. I am not an insurance person by any means, but I did go through some stuff from insurance companies online and the benefits of the
separate directors and officers coverage, the insurance coverage, and found, actually, the one we were talking about, that guy that makes the blog list, here's what you're looking for if your directors and officers policy, whether it be embedded or a standalone, does not cover these things, you need to fix that. So here are the little checklists, and it covers what that guy said. So I'm like, okay, I feel pretty good about that without having to really, really get my insurance license because I don't want to do that. So I brought it here today, and I'm thinking we've already got it approved. The number on it is different than what he originally quoted us, and this policy will cost us $16.85 a year.
Extra?
Yes, over on top of our regular insurance.
Is this the same company that we're with, just giving us a rider?
We go through an independent guy, and so this one, the quote is through him. But as far as it's the same company, one thing you said he had AOI?
Usually not. We have an insurance agent that farms it out to whatever, whichever overall insurer gives us the best deal. I understand it.
One of them sent me one that had the same company name, so I thought, oh, maybe it's the same company. But then this one comes back from CNA, so I don't know the answer to that question.
It's the same broker.
But I thought Barry said the last time that we were covered sufficiently, I thought.
Well, as far as, well, if I said that, I'm not saying that we are or aren't. With the insurance that we've had in the past moving forward, I think we're covered. We just need to reevaluate it every year to see what kind of liabilities might come up and what we're doing. Does that make sense?
This is different insurance.
Remember we voted on that?
Yeah.
Yes, you already approved it.
I know, but then we did, and I agreed with it, but then I thought Barry was quite convinced that...
I did too, so I checked with my lawyer, and he said that he thought that this would be a good thing for us to continue on the additional rider.
Okay. Yeah, and this guy, the insurance guru, whatever he is, that has the blog on it, he said, if you were asked to be on any board that doesn't have the standalone policy that covers these items, don't sign up.
What we've had in the past is one insurance policy that covered the liability as well as some directors, and it was basically one policy that covered both. Mm-hmm. Jody's been looking at it, and I haven't done nearly as much research as she has, but she's suggesting, and the agent's looking at doing a separate policy that just covers the directors for directors' liability. As long as the cost is fairly comparable, which the insurance cost is going to go up every year no matter what we do. So we can't get the price that we got last year necessarily, but being able to determine and figure out whether we have a standalone officers and directors coverage policy or whether we have it part of the same group, I haven't looked into that separation a whole lot, but we do need to have that coverage.
Okay, well, as I understand it, we already voted on it, like Brad said, and it was approved. All we have to do is say, Ryan, get your job done and do it.
Yeah, well, I just want to bring it today in case anybody want to look through the paperwork of the coverage, they can look at it and see, but yes, that was my thought too. We are already approved for it. I did, you know, and something else that I've been working with Barry a little bit is our liability insurance for the ranch itself and how covered are we, and we only have $1 million insurance policy. Million's not a lot when you talk of loss of life or something like that. So something will happen.
I thought it was three. We changed it to three at one of the meetings of the week. Yes, we did.
Good. That's good. I feel better.
That was a meeting at the garden cabin.
Okay.
I got $1 million for horseback riding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most ones are $1 million.
That's standard.
So
are supposed to be three, right?
Done that.
What's that?
We changed it to
Jody,
three.
What's the cost on the
hours?
$16.85.
And that'd be yearly?
Yeah, and then $187 should come off the medical policy to take off that other inclusion that we have.
Now, we approved it to three, but I don't know if Mariah or Linda actually sent the paperwork in to get the job done, but we did vote on the $3 million, and it was approved.
That was before my time.
Yeah, okay, so it'd be up to Linda. She's got chalk on the brain, so they should have
remembered. Retroactive. I might have offended somebody here.
Do you want to go to six?
No.
No. Three?
This is me. We disagree on some things. Three is plenty. One, you need to have a policy with $1 million per occurrence, $3 million aggregate. That's where you should be. That's where almost all homeowners are work on. Medium-sized construction companies are. So.
They're at what? Three?
$3 million aggregate coverage.
Has it been updated Linda?
That's what we're going to check and make sure.
Okay.
Yeah, he talked about an umbrella policy, and I'm like, when he told the cost, I'm like, it was like $6,000 plus. I'm like, we're not doing that. We can't afford that. So anyway, all right, okay. We'll get that one signed off so girls at the end, like, we'll
get this one picked up.
Yeah.
Who do you need to have?
Do you have a copy
it?
Of what we're being insured for?
Yeah.
So
you want that?
Yeah. I'd like to
well,
know.
They'll have to work for and get the premium payment and everything ready anyway.
Well, she was saying she wanted it signed.
Well, I could get another quote.
Yeah, I can sign that.
Make sure this
is
comfortable.
Make sure that we're all on the same page. And
okay.
Not that I forgot. It's just a lot more resource than I anticipated. And
okay, what's next?
Okay. Wait, now hold on a minute. Then the next thing that was brought to put on my plate last month, which was daunting, was trying to go through the cabin reports on if we can find a way to do a flat rate on the cabin rentals and reduce the dues. So when I looked at the cabin reservation system and how hard it is to pull data from that, and I don't know how I did in 2014, but I did every cabin every week and put a graph together, and I'm like, boy, I looked at it again, I'm like, holy crap, that's going to take me months. So wintertime might be a better time to work on that. But I did run up like three different scenarios on if we were to charge a flat rate. Let me put these in order here real quick. And I'll just throw one out there. But there was just, after I did this and made three different scenarios on it, if we reduce the cabins 2, 4, 6, 9, and 10, rent at $25 per day, each week rented brings in $175 per cabin, 5 cabins brings in $875 per week, 26 weeks per year is $22,750 at 100% occupancy rate, meaning cabins are booked for every week. Then we reduce the dues by...
not very much.
$150. And that would more or less cover their 1 week rental of that. But I figured it out on $25 per day per cabin, $50 per day per cabin. I forget the one. Anyway, there's not enough solid data here for me to feel comfortable right now with any of them. And I did tell Phil this week on a phone conversation. I said, you know, I'm not comfortable that, number one, we have to cover the assessments. We just have to cover our bills. And the other part of this plan that is a little bit unnerving to me, even though I like the idea, is that then our income would come in so sporadically, we wouldn't get the full punch of our income during the first quarter of the year. Therefore, and we start our season in April, so how much farther behind is that going to make us lag? Maybe not, maybe it would, but I'm not ready to make any decisions on that. No.
Especially if it's a pay by the daily basis. And what's in my opinion, what that's going to do, and I appreciate, I know Phil's thought this through and would like to see it, but if you have to pay, the occupancy is going to drop. It certainly isn't going to increase. And then you have all this extra paperwork to do. And I realize that some people, especially those of you who have your own cabins, are paying for cabin maintenance that you don't use. But that's kind of how the program was put together. I mean, I think I hate to spend a ton of time exploring something that ultimately might reduce the dues $50 or something, which isn't going to make enough difference to...
Actually, I was trying to work on having it where the rate would cover $150 worth of dues, so what we would pay per week for the cabin would actually be that same amount off the dues. That's what I was going for. And I did get close on that, but again, there's just no guarantee.
Well, with the inability to be able to determine how much the cabins are going to be used, we switch to that, we lower everybody's assessment, and then the cabins go empty, and then we're scrambling around trying to figure out how to make up 20 or 30 or 40,000.
Which is scary.
So I think, I don't know how you guys feel, I'm just one vote, but I just soon
makes me nervous.
Forward the way that it is.
Brad has.
I just feel like
Now, what we're talking about is us seven board members talking about changing a philosophy that the ranch was built on, that all of us bought our lots on, is that these cabins are available, we pay a certain amount of dues. I mean, never at any time did I think that the cabins were ever going to pay for themselves. The roads aren't going to pay for itself. The fish ponds aren't going to pay for themselves. Hopefully the livestock will pay for itself. But
well, remember, that's a whole separate entity, right?
It was a real bad year. But we're talking about changing what everybody bought and making a decision without members, a lot of members' input, and I'm really uncomfortable
with
that.
Well, no, it has to go before the members.
If we made the change, we would have to amend the bylaws.
Yeah.
I think we'd have to amend the CCNRs, which required a 75% vote. It's just, there's a lot of moving parts here. The question is, how far down this road do we go? How much of Jody's time do we spend in trying to come up with something that I don't know? It's just me, and I don't know it's going to work anyway. So
I don't see how it could work. We can't know. We can't predict the future.
We don't
on it. The only thing that we could predict on it is that we're going to be maybe $100 a year less for each one of us to pay.
Yeah.
And very honestly, you know, we're $475 a year. I don't like to pay any more. But if you were in California, it would be $1,500,
$2,000. And, see, you know, we have to cover our costs.
At least. A lot of the
yeah.
associations
and right.
up Duck, I do Duck Creek condominiums, they're paying $400 or $500 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always told the members when they call in that if you've got 2 weeks in a cabin for $475 a year, that's what it is, and that's what it is. You should be, you know, that's a cheap thing.
So roughly, if we, right now, we could rebate cabins, all owners, $33.33 if we had a $10,000 excess at the end of the year, and reduce their fees by the end of, if there's an excess that we're not using, mm-hmm. that could be rebated back into or go toward their next year's fees if that's what the direction. Well, I'm just saying.
That would change the nonprofit status because you're actually doing the dividend back to the owners.
You would simply reduce their ongoing. You can't give money back to the owners or you.
We could reduce next year's fees instead of paying $75. We're all going to pay $450.
I think ultimately the fees that we charge are super fair, and to mess with adjusting it every year, I think we need to be working as Jody has and setting aside a little bit of money so that because I think we've fallen behind on some of the maintenance issues and putting the value of saving a few bucks on the assessment over keeping things in good shape the way that
I actually agree. I was just putting that out there.
Yeah, no, I think we need to make some small tweaks, but I don't know that we want to rejuggle the entire structure of everything with our fingers crossed. I do a lot of financing for hotels, and those are going on occupancy rates, and I guarantee the cabins, and I haven't looked at it, but even in the best year, they're not going to be a consistent. You're going to have some years that are great and some years that are not so great, and we would have to figure out how to make up that difference.
Well, I'd sure like to pull the numbers, too, to see, like, and we're still working on that. And Roy says she thinks she knows a way to get this information and to start being able to track what we are renting out every summer.
I absolutely think we need to be able to figure out a way to track, and it needs to be part of what you and what the ranch manager do, because it would be helpful to have this information.
Yeah.
Which we haven't gathered in the past.
Well, one of our major problems.
I total them up at the end of the year.
Do you have a chart that shows
each cabin,
how many weeks it was occupied, what days?
I don't mind.
Okay.
I just, nobody ever asked for them.
Oh.
We're asking.
Oh, talking about that.
It would be helpful to be able to say, okay, cabin 7 was full this many days out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can look on a chart and analyze that. That would be helpful. I don't know that it changes my opinion as to changing the whole thing, but it would be helpful to know, just to know what cabin usage we're getting. Are they full all the time? Some people I am associated with say that they're not full ever, and some people that I'm associated with say they're full all the time, and I don't know the answer.
Well, I'll tell you on that, too. Where's my little paper here?
But, you know, even if they're full all the time.
We broke a record this year. Our income is like $12,000. Our 40 show now, are we on that?
Well, one of the problems we have here is our cabins are very old.
Yes.
And as such, they cost a lot of money to keep up. Yeah. And, by the way, we have people out here that don't respect them much.
Yeah.
That's the key.
And so they tear them up. They break things.
So do you think
it's just awful the way some of these things are treated. We buy new barbecues. Well, do they last a year? No, they don't. They get torn out.
Well, the last time we bought barbecues was 3 years ago now.
Yeah, we'll go try to barbecue on one right now.
Okay,
you
mean enough.
So do you think that should be added to the ranch manager's things to do list? Is they need to check a cabin out after somebody leaves?
Oh, I think so.
Well, it's supposed to be done all along.
Yeah, they should.
It's not happening.
And I think when people go out, and I don't know how you manage this, but if it's been checked out and then somebody comes in, and then when they check out and you go take a look at it and we got a lot of destruction there, I think they ought to be built.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that too. On my end, I'd like to send out a thing. I've been sending out follow-up letters after every stay, and I would like to know that within a couple of days so I can send that follow-up letter and take care of that right away so it doesn't sit for a while.
I would guess that there's $10,000 a year that could be charged to people that use and destroy cabin things that where those could go right into the budget for repairing cabins. I may be completely off.
I don't think you're
right. You have stuff moving. You just have stuff walking away. You have screens going. We're replacing these things that should be charged the retail value plus a little bit for the hassle of dealing. And you're going to fix a few of the problems with people, and other people are going to say, okay, but we need to be charging people so that the cabins stay the way that they are or improve. So
that's why you give a credit card, not cash, to a motel or hotel.
That's right.
We definitely need a checklist because I bought and put a screen door on, was it 8?
Yeah.
I put a screen door on 8. I went up to look at it 6 months later and it was gone. And nobody knows when it disappeared. Someone stole the screen door.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who was in the cabin. And yet it was never reported because there's no checklist.
I need one for my submarine.
You know, and the checklist, I know Nancy was saying, when you're having people checking in and checking out on the same day, it's not enough time to do this. But that's when those camp posts that we were talking about earlier that we tried to put an ad in, start earlier this year and try to do that, that's where they could come in handy. They could be our checker outers and checker inners or like Nancy could be the checker inner and whoever. And then we could have the camp post go up and check them out. So the same person doesn't have to do both jobs because you don't have time to go up there like the upper cabins twice a day to check all that out.
We need somebody that can say, I'm in my job on Friday at noon or whatever it is to go drive through and walk through each cabin with the checklist.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the checklist. Even if that person doing that would pay for themselves by noting what changes or what's happened. So.
And with question, can the person checking in the cabin do the checklist?
That's possible. When you rent a car, when I go rent a car, then they hand me a thing. And if I don't go and check and say there's scratches on this side of the windshield,
that's a good idea.
When I bring it back, then they charge me for it.
Exactly.
So you could do something like that where people checking in.
Motels do it every day. And they rent to a different person each room every day. Somebody's checking it.
I think this is something we need to address, and we have fortunately a little while since we're going to close things up. Maybe if I can make a suggestion, we could come to their next board meeting with some ideas and then still from there, because I don't know that we're going to decide today exactly how we're going to address this, but I think a key needs to be a way to charge for damage and keep the cabins up, because like I said, I think they've gone a long time without, I mean, the stairs on cabin three, how long were those things just hanging on and
a 10 years
hazard? We can't let things go that long, and we need to make sure that our budget covers the ability to make sure that things are taken care of and supplement the budget out of people who cause problems so that we get it taken care of. So,
you know, and that is very interesting what May had said when we went to that condo
in Cabo.
There was a list because it was a condo, mm-hmm. and it had all the things that were supposed to be in there. And there was a lady there. She said, you know, I have a timeshare here. These things are not in my room. Yeah. She was going to the front office.
She checked it. She checked
and
off
I went,
the list.
Whoa, that is not. Yeah. So anyway, that does happen, and it was, for her, very effective because she didn't want the next person in there saying, this wasn't here, and then she's getting charged for it.
Yeah.
So it does happen, and it did work. So
I have a list already in the computer that we can use for each cabinet.
Yeah, we need to update that list for before spring hits.
Mm-hmm. Depending on that list, that could be a very tedious job.
Yeah. But if we look at it simplified, could you copy that for the next meeting then in January?
Yeah, I've got that note.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only other thing I would suggest is as we go through this in years to come, we need to make sure we're not purchasing, and I don't know whether they were or aren't, but like barbecues, so we can't buy the cheapest thing out there, residential, you know, in your backyard stuff, because it falls apart. I mean, it doesn't take much to destroy that. We need to make sure that we're getting the types of things that are intended for a more
commercial equipment.
If Jody,
to answer your question,
13,000. 13,000 had a reservation fees coming in this year.
See that camp that I cut the steaks on?
No, I didn't.
The commercial camp chef, the flat camp chef, is awesome.
So I have a question.
All my money on
when I placed the ad for a work camper last year, was it this year?
It was this year. Yeah, it was early this year.
It was in the spring. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any responses, and I was told to wait until the fall and do it for the next year. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that. Should I proceed and place another ad?
Well, we paid the $150 up front for that. Are we still good for the end of December?
Well, the ad was placed in one. It was placed on an actual periodical, hard copy, and it stayed on the online system for a year. But I haven't received any type of response or anything.
No feedback at all.
For what?
Work campers, which are hosts that come in. They basically, you trade them, they're RVers. They come in with an RV, they set up, and you tell them, okay, these are your responsibilities in exchange for you being able to use a pad with water and sewer and electricity. We expect you to do 5 hours a day. Check in, check out. Do something to be of service to take off some of that tedious labor from ranch
members. But we paid them nothing. There wasn't a charge.
Yeah, there's
build me the pad. I'll put my motorhome on.
We still don't have. We still don't have a
sunlight
hookup.
We never finished that process.
According to Vance, we've never been given the.
We were way too late in the season for what we needed. I think that's the question:
Do we get started? I personally think. We kind of need to iron some things out with what we're doing branch manager-wise before we start getting camp manager application. But I don't know how it works, and if it takes 6 months to get a response, then we better get on it.
But even if we get a response, we don't have a sore line in the country.
Yeah.
And we need to quit calling them ranch managers. We need to call them camp
caretakers.
Okay.
Or hosts.
Our host, but we need a sewer line to hook up to our work.
We're
wasting your time.
That we hired.
So somebody shows up.
What would the terminology use?
Caretaker. Not managers.
Okay.
Manager implies authority.
Already
caretaker
know their job and doesn't. Already come in with the knowledge of all the things that need to be done at a ranch. Whereas that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Or a ranch foreman, or caretaker.
Caretaker.
It says on there. Caretaker would be best because, first place, you're a manager if you're the only person out there who you're managing.
We've got caretaker on the books, and we refer to them as managers to the people, to the guests that are coming out, because that's more understandable to them than caretakers.
You know, it works better if somebody's given direction, because a person out here working on it as a caretaker, manager, or what have you, you got too many people trying to tell them what to do, and they don't know which way to go. If you got somebody in charge that's given direction, that works better, and they're taking direction from one person only. So that
that needs to be done. And it's been said that, well, I don't have a list. I don't have a list of what I should be doing out here. Well, you know, I was a manager for a long time, and I went in and I managed. I knew what needed to be done. It was my job to figure out how to get it done, when, and what the priorities are, and priorities can change hourly.
Sure.
And so you, as a manager, you have to be able to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Some people can't. If they can't, they're not a manager.
Well, getting back to Jeff, though, let's go ahead and do something and see if we can get a response.
Yes.
If we get a response, then we'll have to make a quick decision on putting in a septic line. Otherwise,
indicate on there that it's going to be an RV, but it will provide either a dump or they'll have to run in town. I don't see us constructing by the spring a septic system.
No, that's the only problem.
We had talked about hooking into the septic line right by the rest stop, the comfort stop.
Right.
So, I mean, we need to decide, do we want to do that? Do we want to have them park up on...
Is that practical?
Well, we dug up the hole, and then Vance, Brent, and Paul made a decision that wasn't an authentic septic tank. They don't know what it was. They don't know if they should tap into it or not. We break a hole into it, maybe we can't get it fixed to make it work. So we stopped and covered it back up.
It needs to be large.
So there was nothing to hook up to there. It was like cabin number one. We thought it was a septic tank when it plugged up. They dug a hole, and when the cabin was built, they found a tank someplace, threw it in the ground, and used it for a septic tank. So we can't assume that everything out there is hooked up accordingly.
Well, some of that stuff out there has been there so long.
Yeah.
There
weren't even regulations back in those days.
I would just advertise it as we'll provide an RV site and water, but
water and
as far as electricity and sewer, then we'll have to make arrangements.
Fine, I don't want the job anymore then.
Eventually, I think we got to get them done. But
we have to, I think so.
Okay, so I can go ahead and place the same ad that I did last year. Or do you want me to write it and then send it out and get approval, or what?
No, we don't need to get approval. Just get it out. We'll be looking at the resumes or the responses and deciding.
Okay, because the work camper program is individuals who are usually retired. They start looking for some place to go spend their summers. And they usually like to go to national parks, or they go to host at a campground at a national park or somewhere where they can go in and part of the day... I mean, hosting at a campground, they basically sit there and they make sure that everybody's paid their fee as the campers come in and park their RVs. They walk around and make sure everybody's got the little tag in their windows. That's their duties for the day. The rest of the day, they walk around and empty trash. They take out they clean the bathrooms or the showers, whatever. They just make sure that there's no vandalism happening. With our case, if we're going to do just check-ins, they need to be probably at ranch headquarters. So they're not... You have to run up to the upper cabin and say, okay, you got somebody down here, check in. Yeah, they need to be somewhere where they'll be meeting guests.
Well, I don't know. I think that their duties would be more inspecting cabins as people check out.
Okay, so I can add that.
Because as far as check-ins, we're going to want to have, this is my opinion, we're going to want to have the ranch caretaker so that they have a face to the association and there's a connection there.
Okay.
The camp host or camp whatever, they're going to be basically doing duties behind the scenes, like going through the cabins and filling out a checklist. We don't necessarily encourage or care whether they interact with the guests or not. The ranch caretaker needs to be a person that makes a personal connection to the ranch.
So the face of the ranch, these individuals would come along after people checked out and come back and report that, yes, there was damage, no, there wasn't damage, here's a checklist.
Okay.
Got it.
And then to report that to me, so I can
do billing. Well, they're going to report that to the ranch manager and you, so that you can say, okay, here's five things we need to bill them for, put on their credit card. Okay.
See, ultimately, at one time, when Barbara Button was here still, we made a decision that we would put a flushing toilet with a septic tank system by by ponds 1, 2, and 3. So if we did something like that, we could then have a camp host park up there, and they could just use that one, and nobody else could. So someday, if we ever get a hold of a septic tank at a good price, we have our own backhoe now, we might be able to do something like that and put them up at the upper cabins because they need more help than people at the ranch house.
That would be a good place. Put them on lot 5 and 5A.
We can't put septic on 5A. It was illegal because of the way it drains into the spring.
No, you got to. It's got to be.
Declined it.
Okay. We were going to build it just out.
Yeah, it was a composting bathroom that we were going to do, not a septic. It was composting we found because of the water.
Yeah.
So it would need to be down on the.
Down by the
flat
ponds,
area by the ponds,
yeah.
So they can go into the spring below the ponds.
same place the cows go, yeah.
And would we put in there a time frame that you're thinking about having them? If the cabins don't open till April.
April till October.
Okay, so I think that would be something that they might want to consider time frame.
But that was we never did do that, so we're still.
The first day,
right.
So.
Well, what'd you have, John?
What are we paying for those porta potties up there? Ponds.
Well, I heard it wasn't very much.
It's like $300 a year or something.
Yeah. I didn't much, but I thought if we were paying very much, then we could get those out there and put in, it would pay for a septic.
Yes, it would.
You see, that's $300 towards a septic. Septic's a better deal, but this is a never-ending deal. This is paying rent that's going to develop your receipts, and that's it.
But if you have a physical...
An idea.
Structure there,
right?
Mm-hmm. Then you've got the risk of people.
And now you can that'll accommodate without somebody out dealing with something that's causing flies and your camp pools.
If your structure's done right, like a city park, there's very minimal amount of damage that can be done, and it can be locked up with a deadbolt, and then you can have your RV, you know. Connection just to the side of it or something. I think ultimately that's what we need to do, but that's for another day.
Let's get back to Jody where she's at and go ahead and put that ad in and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
She's through yet.
Do you guys want to do...
How much time we've got in the lot of
there? We've got $10,000 to shave off the budget. I just emailed out there by hoping that I'd get response so I could have that updated by the time we had our meeting, but nobody responded. So you want to spend time right at this moment, or you want to go on the rest of the meeting and then come back to it, but we are going to finish this today. So how do you want to play?
You want to do what now?
Break for lunch.
No. Either we want to go through the budget now and shave off the $10,000 at this moment, or go on with the rest of the meeting and then do it at go through the budget at the end.
I need every dime.
How much time do you think you need?
It's how much time you need. It's going to be like where we shave off. It could take 5 minutes. It could take a half
an
hour.
Let's do the budget and get it over with.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to start.
Okay, go ahead.
Pull that out. Where's the legal one?
Yeah, we can probably lower that now.
Where do we finish off?
Leo is online. Oh, I just can't find
it. I can't justify any of my arguments if I don't give you my. If we don't go through the agriculture and stuff, so then I can at least have a leg to stand on as you guys are trying to shave my money away.
we're just taking all yours away.
Where is legal?
It's 43. And I just have a question. I worked with Mariah a little bit in suggesting some names that we talked to about foreclosures and collecting dues and that kind of stuff. I don't know how you guys feel about conflict of interest and this and that kind of stuff. This is one of those deals where it's easier to do it than it is to get somebody else to do it and teach them what's happened in the past and how it all fits together. I really think we can probably shave off $1,500 or $2,000 off the budget with just, I'm willing to contribute and do things like I'm going to show you in just a minute as far as those kind of things. Whether we do or have somebody separate engaged to do the foreclosures and that kind of stuff, I got the bids back. I looked at them. Nobody wants to give a flat fee, real rate. Most of those that you sent me were talking about a trust deed foreclosure, which is completely different than what we do, where we're foreclosing on a lien that's in CC&Rs and that kind of stuff. But the ones that did give numbers were about 10 times what they should have been. So I wasn't very encouraged.
I make a motion. I vote we go with Barry if he can save us money on that.
Well, let's see what
and if we don't like him, we can always fire him.
Mariah sent me a
kind of a response. She called three different firms. I gave her four names. One didn't, wasn't, we couldn't get a hold of. And I think he's gone into being on the school board or something. So I don't think he's practicing.
He works for Washington.
Yes.
City.
But we can send those out to everybody. The bottom line is most of the stuff we do is send out a demand letter and tell them we're going to lien your property. And it's a lot of waiting. There's not a lot involved. Mm-hmm. When I file a lawsuit to foreclose, 90% of those are defaults. Nobody ever fought, nobody ever files an answer to contest them. Sometimes they do. And when they do, then you're going to pay an hourly rate to whoever it is. Now, Carrick Holmes said they gave you an hourly rate. His hourly rate is less than mine. But for purposes of what we're doing here, then I'm more than happy to match or reduce my hourly rate for those few cases. But it just doesn't seem like... It seems like we're spending a lot more money or committing to spend a lot more money than we need to on the foreclosures.
The liens, the release of liens, the addition of those are done.
Yeah, most of that stuff with some instruction, we can take care of. And then the foreclosure itself, most of that's... I've done a ton of them for good things in the past. I've already got... It's just a matter of changing the name and the lot number. And the filing fees, I can't do anything about.
Aren't some of those fees... put back on the person that you're...
If you're able to collect money, then they have to pay attorney's fees and costs, so you'll recover that money. That's why Robert Jensen was the one, and he said, I do it for free. He doesn't actually do it for
right.
free.
Yeah.
He just says, I'm going to collect it from the other side,
right.
which is okay.
But even the filing fees, we can't charge them for it as part
of
their
list. That's all. But what happens is... If we foreclose on somebody, we can collect those. But if they never pay, then what we really get out of it is a lot. We don't get cash.
Now, can we get a percentage? Because I know with HOAs, we can only get like 9 months out of the, say, a year of back assessments that they haven't paid.
In our situation, there's no limit. So we go back. 6 year statute of limitations. So okay. If we haven't collected something in 6 years, okay. We've got a problem. Anything shorter than that, we can collect.
Okay.
If Clark's legal team took over this, what would the budget be, do you suppose?
That depends on how many people don't pay their assessments this next year. So I can't tell you, and nor can anybody else.
If we're going to estimate, though, can we shave any money off of that?
Yeah, I would suggest we move this budget down by $2,000 and have a $3,000 budget for legal.
Yeah, I think that's... reasonable. We've done on 3,000 in the past.
I think you know that's my best budget number, and that's the only one that I can see on here, because I know you guys have more important stuff that actually really needs to get done, and so I think we can cut some money out there.
Okay, so that's the first cut.
I concur.
What about 959?
Okay, hold on. Give me a second right here, real quick. Okay.
I've never heard of the lawyer cutting grades.
So do we have an hour left?
Oh, you have.
Did I say that out loud?
DSROA member, that's why.
Do you have an hourly rate for you, or is it like per?
My normal hourly rate is $265 an hour. But we did get a bid from Eric Olmstead. He charges $190. So if whatever legal work you want me to do, I'll do it for $190.
Okay, I'm looking at.
I don't know how Eric survives on that, but
okay,
and he's a great guy.
My guy, I'll match it and go 10% less.
Do I hear 20?
There you go.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and bust that down by 2,000. Any other department person that has anything in here that they would like to reduce before I start slashing?
Jeff, you said something about 59.
959. It's fuel. Last year we had a budget of $1,721, and now we jumped up in 2017 to $65.
What line you want?
That's what you're talking about. That's because it was so inexpensive that they filled the tank.
It's
not.
That's
not?
It's red diesel.
That's a red diesel.
It's a red diesel. Okay.
We will be using more red diesel now. We can do a lot of our own work.
Yeah, because we have the backhoe plus the grader.
It's going to pay for itself, but we're going to be using more diesel.
But we should have some recovery from rental on some of those.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. With hope.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't count any fuel or any of that rental of equipment in there as income, right?
I have budgeted as
We had $500 for both.
Yeah, $500 tractor work and backhoe income, $500 each.
Which I think is low if you're going to be renting.
How much have we made already this year?
It could be low, but
what are we charging? $150
a day? $150 a day, $75 for half a day. That's been, I think, been five times now.
So we got five.
Well, some of them have been half days. I don't know how many have been all
so
days.
So at least $75 times five.
Times five.
Already just for the end of this year. So we could easily increase our income.
And Leland's got it right now, so that's number six.
I would say $1,000.
On the backhoe?
Yes.
Wait, I thought we were at 59.
No, we jumped from 59, which is the cost, up to the income, which is right
over there. From 59 up to
12. Oh no, I'm on the line.
We're going to be spending some money on that backhoe.
It needs to be noted when we get together and decide about this grading thing. Of all those uses, I have one payment that I've received. So
really?
I'm thinking it's an on your honor thing. I'm not sure how that's being
it's
run, but
kind of
and
that
I don't know any
who
time
paid?
They're being used.
Who
Jody
paid?
Did. Jody paid.
Of course.
And that was...
And I'm giving you half of Doyle Edison, so that's...
Oh, okay.
And Doyle Edison isn't done. I assume he's going to pay when it, right? They're still working on that?
Yeah.
Maybe that's...
He was still, and then so I think Hedman borrowed it, and Leland's borrowed it twice now.
Hedman hasn't borrowed the backhoe.
Oh, didn't he?
No, he brought his own over there, but Hedman took a lot of gravel.
Oh, he took the gravel.
Has Hedman paid for any gravel?
He has not. No, and I'm not, I don't have any way to track because I don't know when this happened.
Now, Rod Johnson also took the backhoe, didn't he? Rod Johnson took the backhoe.
Now, I emailed Rod.
For half a day.
I emailed Rod to split with me, but I haven't got a response yet because I might be in the spam folder. But I paid for. Oh, I only paid $75 though, right?
Yes, I was supposed to. You were going to.
Oh,
that's
half a day.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll just pay me.
Okay. Well. I will go on with this here, but I want to address that when my time comes up.
Any other places we can save?
Any other places we can
save? I have a question on line 31. We say we're going to spend $2,400 on store supplies, but on our income, which is line 15, it's only $2,000. Income, shouldn't that be equal?
We have T-shirts from this year we still need to...
And hats.
T-shirts have not been paid for, or have they? The
T-shirt? Oh, like the bill, the original bill? Yes, that has been paid. I was going to say, I don't know if there's any left in there. I don't have inventory tracking.
She bucketed up what was in there.
Jody, did we deduct something on the tractor for put something down there for income? Did that
I put 500 for tractor income.
Okay, realize that we're going to have to buy tires.
Are you talking about backhoe or tractor?
Oh, that is a tractor. That's what we're talking about.
Don't confuse me. I know the backhoe.
That's the only one we've been renting.
I know the backhoe is a backhoe. But backhoe expense, yes, we have. Hold on, let me find that. Yes, there is something in backhoe expense. And under the wish list,
there's $800 for tires. But.
Yeah, I put under wish list for tires, and that we might be able to pull out of this year's end of year budget.
I don't understand. If you look on income number 9.
Oh my God! Wait, you guys.
On the front page.
Okay, well I'm looking up his stuff here at the moment, so I can't go with you.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well, I'm not talking about you then. I'll look at everybody else. I don't see any estimate, budget estimate for monies coming in.
Yeah, there should be something there.
Yeah.
A number nine.
Pay for play.
Pay for play. I don't see any monies coming in.
Oh, you're so right.
So that might, even if you have 5,000 or more.
I think we'll put a 5,000 in there. You're right. I missed that, Candy. Thank
so
you.
So now that's 7,000 off, we only have to chop off three.
I can't.
I'd like to know the percentage of what I paid versus
for more.
How much money you guys are making.
Hey, just a quick question. This isn't the time for discussing it because we're way behind, but wouldn't we want to offer the new manager the opportunity to do whatever they want with the store so they're buying the stuff and they're selling the stuff
no.
and then we don't want to do
that? I'll tell you why we don't. Because when they're buying it, they're not buying it wholesale. And I don't think we're getting an adequate markup on what we're selling. We should at least two times everything that we get in that store. And
but if we're not making money, who cares? That's why I say it's...
Help them to our bottom line. That's why.
According to this, we're losing money.
Yeah.
On the store by $500.
Yeah, because when did they start running it again this year? It was way later. We only got a partial year in here, Barry.
And my point is this: if we're making money, is it worth the hassle? You got to make some significant money.
Is the store worth the hassle?
Yes.
I mean,
This is worth the hassle.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's worth somebody's hassle, but wouldn't we want to say, manager, this is a way you can make a little bit of side money, and we don't have to put it in the cost or the sales tax or any of that stuff.
As long as they don't gouge the people.
I see a smile,
Jack.
Just a question.
Hold on,
I'm going
to look you up for you here.
But I don't know. If we do that, then we open it up for somebody else to want to do something else, and we've set a precedence.
And that may be. I'm just asking the question.
Not if it's a rent manager.
I'm likely to say, look, unless I'm making some significant money on this, it's not worth the hassle. Why don't I let somebody else who would be excited about it?
And it would also
keep
be,
it up.
Could possibly be a perk for that. The manager.
Yeah, it would, but I don't want to set a precedence that three other people want to open up a Kool-Aid stand. Or
if we hire them as managers, then they can open up.
Yeah, if it's supplemental to all the work that they're going to do.
Well, caretakers. Let's put this way. We can make money off the general store, and I think we need to have the right product in there. I think we've had good candy in there, but we haven't had the hats and T-shirts before, and that's already been bringing in a good bit of money this year, and we just have to keep it low. And if we make $600 off the store in 2014, that's without even trying. And that's before we have half the TV.
Okay,
so I think there's ways to make money there, but I think it's hard when it's not monitored, yes. But we do keep the hats and T-shirts under lock and key now, so they can't go walking out the door. And I'm figuring, what did I figure where the profit was? I don't remember, you guys. The profit from those T-shirts alone was $1,000. Is that what I figured out? The cost versus what we're selling at. So, it could really help if we.
Okay. But if we did it Barry's way, I would say they'd have to give us 10% of the profit to pay for the electricity.
Well, and then we can work out all kinds of things. I'm trying to avoid.
Otherwise, we're supplying electricity.
Well, we need to now run back and forth the canal and pay the gas for somebody to pick up candy bars.
Yeah.
When we can say, that's your deal. Whatever you make, you're going to cut a percentage of what does, and we don't have to worry about it.
And we don't have to do that either. I can have it shipped to Linda's, because right now they're running the Costco Yama. I can get a wholesale and have it shipped right to Linda's door or anybody out there. And
something to discuss down the road.
Okay, let's move on.
All right, let's see where we're at. That has been
a little bone of contention, too, because we know what we put in there, and we're not getting back even sometimes what we put in there.
Things are just given out.
That's my concern, again, the headache of it has
managing.
To make enough money to really make it worthwhile. Otherwise, then let's make it somebody else's headache rather than ours.
That's a thought, you know, something to consider. Okay, what's next?
I have a question on three.
I'll
put it on my list.
You said that we made how much on cabin rental this year?
15.
You said
13,000.
Right, no, cabin rental, different category.
I know, but cabin rental in her case is including pay for play and the rental?
No.
No, they're separate.
Cabin rental is just what we rented out to the public.
So why are we only showing 1,700 on this budget worksheet? As income.
Because this budget worksheet was done a couple months ago.
Okay.
When we went through it last time, we had the actual numbers for the year before, and most of the times we cut down on those numbers to be super conservative on the income side. So I don't know with the sheet that we looked at before whether this is the whole last year, the $1,700.
Okay, but that, you just told me it was...
Last year was... 2016, I had estimated it at 1,700. That was not an actual number.
Okay.
What line are we on?
Okay. I'm estimating for this year 1,500 because I don't
know. No. Okay.
Okay. Yes, I do.
This is just
this
one
is non-member rental.
Yes.
Non-member rental.
Yes.
Okay. I had asked too.
Yeah, I guess
that. Okay. Well, that makes more sense.
Yes. Well, I'm glad I could clear that up.
This one.
Yeah, the light went on.
The numbers in there.
Okay, we're looking for $3,000. Who's got $3,000 that they can see that we can cut out?
I'm looking through it line by line right now, so I'll just start throwing them out there.
Well, you've got me for maintenance for $15,000
on
line 27.
Mm-hmm.
Now...
That's cabin maintenance, furnishings, and supplies.
How about just...
But do we need to do any replacement or supplies? I mean, furnishings this year were all the mattresses replaced.
The mattresses, oh, well, that's, we should be able to cut in that area because the mattresses are done. I think we also got one set of clean sheets for each of them.
Oh, here, but I can go grab it.
Were all the mattresses put into the cabins and the old ones disposed of?
I believe so. They have been now, yeah. John, all the mattresses have been put in.
They're up there. They're in the cabins. They're back in there in each cabin. With the exception of one, it had mattresses for
3,200.
A cabinet was occupied.
Okay.
So they're all on property. They're on property.
They're all out of storage.
Out of storage, right.
So, on that, on your cabinet maintenance furnishings and supplies, we bumped that up by 3,000 for the next coming year, but I'm like, I think that it can stay where it was at 12,000.
I think so, too.
So that'll, okay.
The mattresses alone should occupy a big savings.
And remember, your split there, 4,800 maintenance, 4,000 furnishings and 3,200 supplies. Nancy has had a hard time with that one.
Well, we're having a hard time with that one, too, because Joe went to go do things, and you said he'd already spent the money. So I think some of the supplies came out of the other part that he wasn't even under controlling it.
So it really threw me off.
Well, supplies comes when Nancy and I go to town and get
stuff. Yeah, but still, if there's a 3,200, and we were trying to do the porch, we were trying to do painting, we were trying to do everything.
And then we did the red rocks, and all of a sudden it was way out of whack.
The money was already gone, and he hadn't had any choice to do the things that we needed to have done. That's why we suggested, if that's 3,200 for supplies, have that in a separate section so that the ranch caretakers cannot touch it. That cannot be something that they can cut out.
Well, those should, like the rocks and the locks, technically should be on the project.
Yes, I think
because that's not an ongoing.
Well, that's where it came out of. But
at first, but then we move that, Mariah.
Oh, I can look and see. I don't know.
I think we moved those to. I could be wrong. I think we moved them to special projects, and therefore got that budget back in line.
So that's
so my portion was what, 4,800
and four.
If you got a project,
supplies was
32,
maintenance was 4,000.
He wants to do the skirting on the bottom.
See, I got
some of the cabins keep the mice out.
So that needs to be a project.
Needs
to be, because it's not something that's ongoing in cabin and maintenance and cabin supply.
Do we have a project line?
Well, if we can do that, then I think we can cut like another thousand.
No, we don't. What's that?
It's a section down.
Skirting in.
Right, it should be a project.
It should be a project. Then you can cut the furnishing.
You can cut mine. You can take $1,000 off mine easily. Because if we make, if I want to put skirting around a couple of the cabins, that'll be considered a project. That'll be a different category.
$1,000 off the 12,000 or $1,000 off the 15,000. We've already taken 3,000 away from you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're done.
I'm done. I go home.
We're ready at this point, in my opinion, to approve the budget because we now balance.
Okay.
So
we were looking for 3,000 and we found 3,000 and zero.
Okay.
So
we're over 1,000, aren't we, Ben? 5 for me, 2 for you.
I'll take that extra.
No. Are we good for 10?
Did you add the 5 in the top?
Yeah, I did.
2 for Barry. And 3 for...
I think with that, based on the number we started off with, Jody might have to find the exact place to plug it in. I would make a motion that we approve the judge the...
Oh, how about let me take it home and do all the pretty stuff on it and then send it to y'all and then we can approve it over the email?
I'm okay with that. I'd just soon approve it here rather than with those changes in mind. It's already in the notes. That way we don't have to
We trust you, Jody. I mean, there's no...
We're after it here.
So is that an official motion?
Quick stuff on it.
So let me restate my motion. I make a motion that we approve the budget, the annual 2017 budget as adjusted, taking 2,000 off of the legal line, adding 5,000 in income on line
nine,
and then reducing Joe's cabin overall budget from 15,000 to 12,000. And I know that's divided up on multiple lines, but I trust Jody can find the right place.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All against?
Yes.
Steve, I mean...
You don't count, Jody.
I don't count. I just, I like to make sure it's right before I approve it. But
did you second that?
Yeah. See, John seconded it. Jody, are you voting no?
I'm abstaining at the moment, okay?
Okay.
By the end of the meeting today, I might be on there, but okay.
All I'm looking at this, Jody,
I got
is
it.
That we started $10,000 down,
yeah.
And we've made up $10,000 today, yeah. Unless there's some other error, which we will certainly excuse you from worrying about.
Yeah. And we can make any amendments as they come up.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're prepared to get it swallowed by the end of the day, I think.
Were you going to break that line 27 into three different separate lines, or leave it the way it is?
That's kind of maintenance. Three different
lines. No, I leave it there.
You'll have this confusion every year.
You, break that up? You know, we should break it up if we could. Would it be how much trouble to break
it's just
it up?
One,
it's just changing the spreadsheet.
It's broken down in the spreadsheet part.
It's just on the right hand side on the notes.
On this, just combined together to save space.
These aren't separate accounts anyway. It's just accounting lines. But I think it's critical that the issue that you guys are having, we've got to resolve. Partially with proper communication between you and the caretaker to make sure they're not spending your money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. But the way she has it split, $4,800, $4,000, $3,200, that's $12,000 anyway. It's not $15,000.
Right. We boosted it when we were talking in the meeting because we wanted to make sure we had enough for some of these special projects. So.
But that's the way it stands anyway, mm-hmm. Rather than the $15,000 as it shows the split.
Okay.
Did you want extra over that 12 for the skirting, or that was
special projects?
The special projects for the skirting.
So I need to put that in the budget.
Right.
It needs to be on the back, the last page of the proposed.
So I have to add that in.
So now we're back up again then.
Yeah, we're back up again.
The very last page.
For these. Page 5.
It's right there. To-do list, wish list. Those are projects.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't think it's personal.
Did we increase our backhoe income?
Yes.
To what?
We went up to 5.
What
number is
that?
We did
thousand.
Because it's
the last page. I count that in my head adjustment.
Because we're easy going to do 500. We already have, practically.
Okay, so let me make sure I have all the numbers right. Pay per play, we put in 5,000. That co-work, we added 1,000. That's all we added to income, right?
Right.
Okay, so
you moved it to 1,500 for backhoe income?
No, 1,000.
1,000 even.
What about the tractor?
Tractor, I have 500. We don't typically do a lot in the tractor.
It's in use this weekend.
So that'll be this year. Yeah. So then we reduced the cabin to 12,000. We reduced the legal to 3. Oh, there's where I'm missing that. 3. Okay. And then we want to... That's the only thing we did through there, and then we want to add on a special project of...
Cabin skirting.
Is a grand too much, too little?
Well, probably be about $1,000 per cabin, but I was planning on doing 2 cabins a year, but we can just do one a year and see how it works out.
If you have extra money, we can do more later.
But. Are you going to use that cement board?
Yeah, I said that.
Oh, wonderful.
I put that concrete wool board around my cabin because I had mice and rattlesnakes. Haven't had only killed 3 rattlesnakes in the last 5 years now within 100 feet of the cabin. Prior to that, I'd killed 15 a year.
Well, they talked about cabins.
So it makes a big difference getting underneath the cabin.
And how the monsters kept going through them and going from one to the other. We got to stop that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
rotating.
There's more labor involved than there is parts.
And, then,
and if we get some volunteers like Brad.
Well, in the past we tried screen and just basically came down to the point.
And we were thinking trying to get the garden cabin. Also better equipped to handle the winter times.
That would help the winter because the air couldn't go under it and freeze it.
Rather than just putting hay around.
Yeah.
the bottom part, but that would actually help it too. And maybe be able to have that cabin open and available.
That's a good idea. You know, pay for itself probably.
It would take a lot of expense to get that one winterized because of all the issues that it has with four bathrooms and that. You'd have to shut down three and just leave one open.
That was the idea, kind of working our way to winterizing and making it better, and number two, keeping the varmints out.
Do we have a plumber that has a lock?
No.
There's not a lock. One plumber on
the three. Niall Willis has his son that's a plumber. It's hard to get him to come out to do that.
Because we should have somebody who has expertise in that field to look at it and see what it would take to change the plumbing around so you can keep that cabin open. Because that cabin itself would probably pay for itself.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea, too. If we can put something out maybe in a newsletter to offer to members, if you have an expertise, let us know about it. And in some way, maybe we could recoup some of their time to come work on some of these issues. And there again, we're keeping it with someone who's vested in Deer Springs and who would do a good job. Because
we get a volunteer, we can offer him another week's vacation.
Hmm.
If he's a member, offer him a week's vacation. And
maybe it'll fail again, too. Maybe we
they'll work on the cabin, in winterizing cabin, the garden cabin.
Look at
so do we want to do anything on this back page? You want to add winterize the garden cabin as a wish list item? Or
let's put it as a wish list.
Well, you got Solar Cabin 8 as a wish list.
Yeah, I think that should be on
Are
the wish list.
Are we still pushing the play set as a wish list for $2,000?
I don't think so. That shouldn't be on there.
It's just a wish list item. It can stay on there. I'm
going to throw in a devil's advocate there. I thought I heard at one of our meetings that Niall Willis says that we can't trade cabin time for labor or something. He needs a paper trail.
That's true.
For cabin time?
Not for cabin time, for assessment.
No,
assessment's different. Cabin time. If there's a free cabin time, we can surely let somebody use it.
So wish list, winterize the garden cabin?
Yeah, wish list.
You can trade for money, too. You have to write them a check, and then they have to write you a check. We're going to wipe it out.
It's
got
to be a paper check.
Yeah. So you essentially do it the same way.
Should we on the bottom add garden cabin winterization or garden cabin?
Or a wish list.
Winterize garden cabin.
Winterize garden cabin.
What does that mean? Make it winterizable?
Yeah, and also keep the rodents out from going underneath it.
Okay. And, you know, we were talking the last time, the prefab laundry shed, 7800. We were talking something more that we could do is getting a 20 or 40-foot storage unit, cut some windows in it, and really it wouldn't cost us that much money.
I think we need to work on that on a individual.
We
need to go twist some arms. I don't know that needs to go in the budget. I think it needs to happen, and I'm willing to do some arm twisting to get out a larger, tough shed. I hate those metal containers. That's just me. But something out there to where we could either replace or put something in the place of the Chow Palace where we have a standalone unit that's.
Or if we put it out there, I say, put a tough shed. But if they want to do the laundry out back, we could put another one out back.
It's not very much money to side that. You can side that, make it look
just like
a freaking log cabin. But immediately you have the.
I know we just bought a container to save a bunch of medical records for somebody to close, and we have to keep the medical records forever. I think there's like $3,500 or $3,800 for one of those delivered painted.
But that's a 45 footer, and we need like a 20 footer. So a 20-footer is going to be cheaper than that.
We
have the building immediately, but then we can go to work on getting it sided and put a roof on it. It can look just like the Cow Palace, or it can look antique.
Part of the reason why I was thinking replacing the Cow Palace is it's about ready to fall in anyway. It actually looks, every time I'm up there, then that bothers me. It looks bad.
Yeah, it does look bad.
I agree.
But we had a 40-foot container from St. George delivered to our lot for $3,030.
I talked to that guy. He said he would never go to that lot again.
Well, I paid $3,000 for a 20-footer.
All right, we're to ending time, and we're not anywhere close to ending.
Yeah.
So,
do we want to do anything about this last page? Do you want to see those items there? Do we want to just say?
I think we want to add on. Well, you mean as far as getting rid of things that are on there?
Yeah, you got the prefab laundry shed.
I don't leave it on there. Those are just wish list things. If we ever have extra money,
they kind of keep us aware of what we've talked about.
Do we know what the cost of solar on cabin A would be then?
$1,500. Wasn't that what seven was?
I'm not in favor of putting more solar up.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
People are abusing.
They're abusing the heck out of it. They're plugging in electric skillets to cook eggs with.
And
blowing the fuses and all.
Okay.
It was about $1,500.
I wouldn't be opposed to scratching that.
I said let's scratch it until
we are what we are. Until we get real power up there, we need to, in my opinion, again, not for discussion today. We need to figure out how to get power into regular power from traffic up there so that everybody has electricity.
That about cover.
Yeah. That isn't gonna happen.
I know we put in for it.
Does it ruin anything? Oh, I don't
want to.
Gas lights and gas fridges, but that's just.
She got that on the wish list. That'll be a must.
Well, that's a big wish list.
That's gonna
have to happen.
I don't know. My cabin's got. I got an electric refrigerator, 18 cubic foot electric refrigerator. Everything works.
Our freezer is fabulous. It works on 1.2 volt or amps.
But it's all solar, and I'm.
If we actually have money left over, I think we might ought to look into getting a 20 foot container, and we can site it for now without roofing it or anything for relatively at least face it.
I sited one. You saw mine.
Yeah, yours looks great up there.
You don't know that it's a container.
Okay.
I'll put it on my wish list.
Okay,
I'm not that creative. I'm not that visual. Yeah.
We're done with your budget now?
Well, what about
the cabin
winterizing the garden cabin?
Is it right now just a wish list?
I know, but throw out some money.
You're probably looking
at it. Wouldn't be $10,000 just to put the skirting around the bottom. Clean, dry, sealed building that they could do
$1,500.
I agree.
If you don't like it, we can.
Well, we could do the plumbing the next year. I'm just saying, skirt it so it starts
up and then put it
in 2 years to do it. Just put $1,500 for the skirting.
$3,000 to have it come out there and be sitting there, and we have it.
Hey, Joe, do you want to go on to the next one then? Because that's the end of the budget.
Okay. Just a quick, nothing I want to get deep into, but on five, number two, the problem was is Carol Twilliger, who is now called Carol
Tap.
Mm-hmm. She wanted a reservation made, and then Mariah said that there was a duplication, so who gets what first? It's not until next year. So my concern was we should have a policy we should come up with, not today, but I say something like, if you want to pay your dues a year ahead of time, you should be able to rent that cabin a year ahead of time. Depends how everybody else feels. That's just my personal opinion.
The policy is that if you have a reservation for next year, your dues has to be paid by January 15th. That's the policy. That way, that money goes into that year's budget. If they give us their dues now, it goes into this year's budget.
Yeah, that's true.
So we don't push it ahead of time, but it has to be paid for 17. It has to be paid by the 15th of January, and that's right on the invoice that goes out.
So then there's no duplication. If a person pays it, that person gets...
This duplication happened because the one reservation that we weren't aware of happened 2 weeks after my husband died. So
how did they make it then?
Well, they made it. I messed up a lot of things right at that time, and there's a lot of
which is totally justifiable.
And so that's why that happened. So I take the blame.
So that's not normal. A normal occurrence.
I don't
happens.
Plan on having that.
No. Once was enough, huh? Yeah, that's I get you there. Okay, so we're good on that then.
Yeah, the dues has to be paid for the year that it's going to be, for the year that it is made for, it has to be paid by the 15th.
So my question is, though, let's say in 2 years from now, I want a family reservation for two of the cabins up there. You mean I can do this 2 years in advance, just tell you I want it, and then January 15th, by that year, I can pay it. Well, in the meantime, Jody says, well, she wants it. What are you going to do for that 4th of July week
you
both want?
You paid me your reservation. Why do you want to know 2 years ahead of time? because you have a family coming in, and it's hard to coordinate all those people.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why we can't do reservations ahead of time because of that. And then, yes, if January 15th comes and you don't want to pay your assessments, then that's...
But what I'm saying is, well, what if... Okay, we both do it 2 years in advance. Do you do a pull out of a hat, whoever gets it that
what
time?
What if her check clears an hour before my check clears?
No, no, no. How do you
whoever
do that?
Calls first, whoever calls first. Whoever calls first.
That's why there was a problem, is because the other one was before the tax.
Which normally isn't a problem. It was just bad.
That's where the problem
I just wanted that clear so that we don't have
No, it's by the calendar.
Okay. Don't we have all my other... associations and condos I belong to, they will only allow you to reserve 12 months in advance.
Yeah, we have 16.
We do have that right.
We have 16.
Okay. Right. I don't care what the time period is. Yeah, there ought to be if there's not, but it sounds like there is.
Okay, we're good. Move on.
Clear that.
Okay. Who's this Barry guy?
Uh oh. My turn?
Number six, Barry.
All right. This will take 10 minutes. You can put me on the clock or less.
Okay, here we go. Yeah.
I have a copy of the rules and regulations that the last version that I worked on, and I think they had the input advance. Now, there's been some discussion today about adding information on equipment rental. We can add it to this version, or we can add it to next year's version, or whatever you want. But I made a copy for each one of you to have. What we need to do is say, this is done, we accept it, because this is over a year old that we've been messing with this thing, and if we wait another 2 weeks, then it's going to change again. and the rules we have right now have some issues with them. So I don't know how you want to handle that. If you guys want copies, I was going to pass them around, but they're here. But sometime very quickly, if not at the very latest at the next meeting, we need to say, this is it. Have a vote, and we're done, okay?
You know, it'd be nice if you could vote right now, and we could send it out with the assessments.
Yep.
This has been gone over and adjusted several times. I personally feel like it addresses everything we've got other than equipment, and we're not really sure exactly what we're going to do on equipment yet. So I would suggest that we approve these and have them ready to send out, but I'll leave that up to you. I would need to print them... Well, some of you ought to print them double-sided just so it's less paper.
Yes,
so does that include the gravel pit policy?
It does.
Do we have to print this and send, or can we just say we have new rules and regs are online?
That is up to you, up to us.
I think we should not send
that
email.
It would be better. We're going to be sending quite a bit, but you have to understand. Well, most people aren't going to read it anyway, whether it's online or in the
mail. In the newsletter, we'll put the new regulations are on the Internet. Look them up.
Yes. And then if you want a written copy, please notify Mariah and she'll mail you one out. And that way we can
tell. See one of them. Please.
Absolutely.
I'd like one too, Barry.
Pass them out then, if you would. Yeah.
When are you going to pass those out, Barry?
I'm happy to. I didn't want to take any more time than I needed to.
How many minutes has he got left, guys?
All right. Oh, I'm good. I have time out here.
So I've got the copy of the equipment rental that we all figured out. Do we want to just have that inserted before it goes online?
I think we need to decide whether we're going to allow third parties to rent or not, and some of that stuff.
You've got to get one to fill.
That's what I think I get from this meeting.
And then there's the question that came up. Hold on, let me find it.
Your two questions were, did we deal with water?
Yeah, did that get in here?
Yes.
Oh, so it's
put in, and we didn't put in a $50 charge. We put in an amount that the board determines on an annual basis, because I don't want to have to go through every year and change the number.
Okay.
Is this the hauling water?
Yes, hauling water.
So how do we let them know it's 50?
It needs to go on the website saying, this year's water is, our established rate for hauling water is $50 a year.
So
it can probably stay there for the next 10 years.
And we need to add it on.
So is there a volume amount of water? That's,
yes, it talks about the volume in there.
So if you haul 50 gallons of water, do you have to pay $1 a gallon?
No, it's how much you pay annually and how much you can use on a monthly basis. If you're using hauling 50 gallons of water, on a one-time basis, I'm not sure we've addressed that. Just because it doesn't really happen.
Residents that use... that haul
drinking
water like myself.
Drinking water. Yeah. Just fill up your tank at your cabin.
Okay. We will work on the list to get you on whose assessments to put that on.
So we're talking okay. about over 1,000 gallons? Or
yes.
Because there's a lot of things that we're all doing now. We're not going to haul water anymore. The Harris are not going to haul water anymore because we're putting our own catchment system.
Yeah, I'm going to do that next.
So I don't think that can be accurate because we're not going to haul water anymore, and neither are the Harris's.
Well, that's a housekeeping administrative thing. Yeah, we need to figure out beginning January 1st who's going to haul water, who's not. People may add or take their name off that list during the process. The fees are perfectly reasonable. If I had a cabin, which I don't yet, then I'd pay the fee for this year if you're going to use it part of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not unreasonable to just pay and be done.
Okay.
December 1st. The date on those rules was October 8th. That's the last time we touched it. And those were just adjusting some things so we didn't have to re-up and re-change it every time we changed our dollar amount.
Can you send that electronically
to them? I can. And I'll send it to him. He actually was the last one to touch it, so I got it from him. So.
Okay, so then you should just give him the allocated.
Yeah, all we need to do is have a vote to approve it.
Okay, there's one more thing we need to talk about, too. I know it's been happening for years, and I know there was some kind of a loose agreement on it, but we need to make a real agreement on it. People that aren't staying in the cabins, whether they're camping or in their own cabins and such like that, should are dumping trash into our trash trailer, which costs us money to take into the dump every month or when they take it.
Twice a month.
So there was some discussion earlier in one part way back when that if you wanted, like if I have the cabin, I'm staying in my cabin, and I don't want to haul my trash to Phoenix, I could pay the ranch $40 a year, and my trash could go in the trash, and I'm talking bags of trash, not beds and
construction.
That's it. So do we want to implement that for that purpose, or do we want to not have people that have their own cabins using, because it's just making more work, too. So what do y'all want to do about that?
I'll voice my opinion. If you have your own cabin and that, then I would rather not expand and open to the world and say, go ahead and use our trash trailer. Then we have to figure out who you are, where you are, and one person sees somebody else dumping in the trash, and then they think that it's free. I'd rather just say, you need to make your own arrangements for trash and not have it as an open source to anybody.
John?
How much does it cost to dump?
Well, I'm currently paying $40 for a year. So I paid for 1 month.
It's $40.
I think Brent is.
So it's already happening. I don't know who else.
Oh, okay.
Because we pay $40 a month for
a year or a month?
No, the ranch pays
$40. No, the ranch pays $40 a month.
And so
okay.
We're here 6 months, we pay $40.
We've been paying $40.
It's actually a visit. Yes, I was going to say it's per visit. Last month we had $100 worth of special services fees. This month we've only had $40.
But anyway, we send in a...
Is it a problem?
It is.
Is it a problem? I don't know if it's a problem for the ranch or not.
Last year we had sheetrock and boards put into the trash.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, can't you just put a sign? Sorry.
Every once in a while the manager shows up.
Sorry,
I just
blurted out.
You
want
to make a sign?
So I guess I'm not a good person to ask on this because I think $40 is a bargain for me.
Yeah.
And
I paid more, you know.
And that paid for one trip out of the month, and I just throw in our trash. And I know there's, I think Brent does too, and I don't know who else is doing it.
But we don't do boards and stuff like that.
So it's obviously not you guys who have abused it, so somebody
But whatever the board decides on that, you know, of course I...
Whether or not you want to make an issue of it, because... It's already people doing it.
The trash trailer probably doesn't have any way to lock it.
No.
I know in Mesquite we have to lock our dumpster. It ends up full every week with stuff that has nothing on it.
There's no way. No.
Okay. Well, the other thing on this, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say if there's no way to lock it, then we're going to have issues with complete strangers throwing stuff in there.
They flip it over the other. And, you know, I know I've paid for it a couple of times. I paid like $20 a year in the airport, and I don't know if that money's ever hit here. So it's something. Okay, so it's something that we need to make sure. I don't think the ranch managers need, or whatever we call them, need to be the collectors of that. I think we just need to know who wants to do it. We want to do this. Who wants to do it? And then paid right in the
first
check. Yeah, that's good.
We paid $40. If it's $80, it's $80.
That brings up a point. With your new ranch managers, you want them handling as little money as possible.
Yeah. Oh, and I want you to get 2 squares.
Yes,
that's what we were talking about.
That would kind of be like, if the board wants to do it, that's kind of like the water utility fees. You pay the $50 with your assessment at the beginning of the year for your water under the new rules. If it's okay with the board in general here, okay, there's how many people out there that have cabins that use it, and if they pay the $40 or whatever, maybe it's $80.
Let me do this just to move up, because I promised you 10 minutes. We're already over that. I make a motion that we approve the rules as I've drafted them, with one exception. I will add a paragraph stating that members can use the trash collection facility at a rate to be determined by the board of directors on an annual basis, and then we've got it covered. Same type of thing with what we have with the water, and then we can determine what that number needs to be from time to time. Anybody want a second?
I second that.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Oh, sorry.
I'm not a board member.
Why don't you like that?
It will get used a lot.
And that's what you mean, rolling into the membership.
I think it's going to get used. Yeah. It sounds like it's going to get used anyway.
It is being used.
You're right.
But it will get used.
Do you feel like it will get used now because we've written it right into the
administration? Yeah, so because you're like advertising it. We'll take your trash in if you want us to.
If you pay a fee.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but...
I would prefer not to as well, but I think that you've got... There's already an established group that have...
We won't tell anybody.
Well, and I don't want to make it any difficult. You guys aren't the problem. The problem is people that are jumping in things that they shouldn't. Yeah. And I guarantee if we tracked them down, they aren't either members or they're not going to agree, and they're not going to pay anything anyway.
But see, that's like Brent and John and myself. If we pay $40, I donate 10 times that amount of money in my labor and my pieces and parts.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
But you guys are complaining about windshield time, too. You know, so, I mean, this is more trips into town with more trash.
Well, Doyle volunteered last time and took it in and paid for it. And Brent takes it in and pays for it.
There you go. That's good.
So let's take a straw poll. How many want to include it? We're dealing with rules and regulations now. I know that there's probably more discussion on this. How many wants to address this in the rules and regulations that we have now, or how many would want to leave it out? So those in favor of including it in the rules right now, raise your hand.
Saved you some work, Barry.
That might be one of the things. Vance added a couple of things and adjusted the wording on the water. He was the last one to touch it, so if it's in there.
The trash?
We need to recruit 24... more people to pay $40 than the ranch doesn't have any bill for taking the dump.
It doesn't list the cost.
All our dump is free.
That was one of the things we talked about leaving out as the actual cost.
Well, it says members living year-round at the ranch may share by arrangement year-round waste costs with the ranch only upon approval of the ranch manager.
Okay.
But that's a year-round person.
And that's
all
three
people.
Yeah, that's
not
somebody visiting on their property for 3 weeks.
How about inserting fees may apply?
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with anything. I just want to move on to the next subject. So.
I second that.
I like that if we add on a fees
may apply. Anybody opposed to me adding language that just says fees may apply as determined by the board?
No, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, the year-round
fees may apply. Yeah.
All in favor of the rules on the road.
Do we need to change ranch manager's name on there?
If we do that, we're going to have to change that throughout the bylaws and about 10 other places. So unfortunately, we're stuck with the terminology of ranch manager, unless we want to change all of our documents.
So you proposed it. Who seconded it?
Did John did.
I will.
Okay, Brad and...
Everybody was
unanimous.
Okay.
Everybody in favor?
Everybody already did.
Yep. All right.
Big deal.
Into our 15th minute.
Mm-hmm.
I created, I told you last time, I really wanted to have an application for if somebody wanted water rights, what they had to fill out. I've done that. I have copies for each one of you to look. I emailed it out, I think, to everybody. But since you don't read your emails like I do, I've got copies here. What this does is basically says, according to the bylaws we've got, we have an obligation to convey water, but it allows us to say, where are you getting it from? What do you propose? And saves time for the board having to determine. They're supposed to bring in the application with the information. We can then look at it and say it meets our qualifications. It doesn't. And make it as simple as possible. Each one of you should
take
one of those and look at it.
We have an email copy of that now.
Yes, I sent it out. I probably did that a month ago or so, so it might be old. If you want to, let me just send all this stuff out to you after the meeting by email all over again. Okay. A fresh copy of everything. We talked about last meeting at length the proposed amendment to the bylaws about removing members, or removing board members. This is the final draft. The last person to put any input in was Phil. And we need to, I think, either decide to... The idea was to send this information and request for change of the bylaws out with the annual, with the assessment bill and everything else. We either need to decide to do that or hold off till our next meeting when Phil can be here and have further discussion on this. I've done it. I just need to know what to do with it.
I think we should hold off till Phil's here because that was his main thing.
I'm more than happy. There's copies here for anybody that wants to look at it. I'm not pushing it either way. I'm not in favor of doing this, but I see the purpose and I see the reasoning behind it, and I'm okay. And I've drafted the document according to what input I got. So.
Well, I think if this is going to be presented to the members, I think there should be a time that we have a meeting and specifically say we are going to discuss this, any questions or input should be done, and then send that stuff out. So it gives a period of time for the people to actually understand what it is you're trying to do.
Well, this proposal is kind of a letter that spells out what we're trying to do and gives them, I think, until April 1st to send in their vote or something. There is a period of time. But I think we probably, since this was Bill's kind of thought, I think we wait until he's here to discuss it with us. The last thing I have is I prepared, as you guys have seen, the Beehive lease. I didn't get any responses other than from Jody. All I'm asking for, we have time on this. We don't need to get in a rush for this. But sometime by about March or April, we need to have it. So what I need you to do is... send me an email saying, cross out section. You don't have to go into you don't have to explain to me why or argue or anything else. Just say, well, this lease is crap. Take out articles 5 through 7, and then it's simpler and put it on, you know, one page or something. I'm not offended. I do this stuff all the time. But just indicate what you want changed or what you want taken out. I'll gather those in, and by next meeting or whenever I get that, I'll present the final version, and then we can vote on it.
But, Barry, I think the board should look at January, February, getting it looked at, done.
Yes.
Because the people said that they brought the bees out too late last year.
Yeah, because
so
we didn't get sooner.
I talked to the bee guy today. I can speak to that in a minute.
Okay,
that's all I've got. I've got copies of the bee lease if anybody wants a hard copy. Take one. I got a couple of applications for the caretaker. We're going to change that. Caretaker position. I haven't looked at them in detail. Mainly the one that came that we like, and one that I'm not. But I have them here if you want to look at them. We need to management or hiring committee or something. We need to spend a few minutes at some point, preferably not today, but some point in time, deciding how we want to proceed.
Back to the bees.
Yes, bees.
I sent y'all a picture of a bee sign.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen bees.
I forget what my cost was, $450 or $625.
Yeah, I think I wrote back. I'm good with that.
And the color. How many signs do we want then?
Yeah. Shouldn't be more than, I would say, last year they only put them in two places. I think next time they wanted to separate them. So I would say get about four or six of them.
I think that's fine.
Are they going to keep the same amount of bees, or they're increasing the
where they are in that
the amount of bees that they bring
in? I think they said they wanted to just separate them. So if he had 500 bees or 10 beehives, he's going to put 5 and 5, I believe. I could be wrong on that, though. I didn't get the final decision.
Why are we providing signs when not the beekeeper provide them?
We can just charge them for it.
Well, we asked them to do that and they didn't. So I thought, I don't want to get, you know, coming down from my place one time and Fred Searle, we got attacked like you can't believe. So I think we, for our members, we should at least put the signs up. If they don't, I want to.
But they should be billed because it's.
We could bill them for it. Yes, true.
Yes, sure they'll pay $650 a sign to put it.
I'm sure they wouldn't complain for $650.
That's fine. As long as we say up front, if you don't put your sign up, we'll put it up and we'll bill you.
Should that be in part of the bees?
Yes.
But I'm saying, I don't
we can just tell them they have to pay for the sign or we don't sign the lease.
We'll get to the bottom of that.
But I can insert that easily into the new map.
How about this one right here that says backhoe experience?
Oh, I have it. Okay.
Oh, who's up next? Right. Number 7.
There's no more about the range manager stuff.
What's that?
There's nothing more about the range manager stuff. Was there?
So you've got a couple of applications.
Oh, no, I'm talking specifically about the paragraph that was going to be written, that we advertise, that we want somebody. Have we seen it? I understood the first one we didn't like.
Have we advertised yet?
We haven't advertised yet. We have a couple of applications that already came in, and Brad looked at them, and I looked at them, and if this one couple that we got an application from works out and is as good in person as they look on paper, then there's no real reason to advertise.
And I've talked to them on the phone, and I've sent them back the information so they know how much they're going to make, and they're to the point, actually, that they would like to come. If we're serious about them, they would like to come and see the facilities, and I think that they should before we hire anybody.
Yeah. Now, can they operate a backhoe and a grader?
He has a little bit of experience. I can show you his whole application. Okay. I've got it right here
if you want to.
He
works on an oil rig.
He's worked on an oil rig, has a lot of experience with mechanical stuff. So
that's the one you said you
didn't
have.
But not a grader.
So we got to spill oil on the rig.
The backhoe, I think, is where he's the weakest. He has operated a backhoe, but he hasn't really had a job doing it. We just play it off.
Well, if this is someone that you have looked over, I think the board should see who you're talking about, what's going on. If it goes that far, invite them, not just to the ranch, but to the board.
I've got their written application here. I'm happy to make as many copies as possible. I think we ought to.
They even produced a video of their family, and we'll send you a link to that on YouTube.
Where are they from?
That you could. These guys are from Missouri.
Oh, okay. So it's not easy just to come out and say hello.
It's a commitment for them to come, but they're serious about it. They're excited about it.
They're still there now, in Missouri.
Yes, yes, and they've been living in very similar circumstances for the last 5 years, as they would, you know, rural wood burning stove. I mean, this won't be a shell shock to this family.
What kind of time frame are they looking at to possibly come?
And that's why I actually made the phone call and talked to them personally then, because I've never met them before. But they are somewhat flexible, but I think they're anxious to
see it.
And I think it's to our advantage, actually. Maybe we could have them here as early as January. If this moves forward,
you know,
I know that when we've interviewed before, they sounded just fine, and then we brought them to see the ranch, and we met with them, and it was like, this isn't working. I'm not saying that's not.
No,
happen,
I understand completely.
It was that
that's our biggest concern is
sure.
That we get somebody who thinks, I'm retired now. This sounds like the perfect job. And they get out there and they think, no. But their life circumstances.
That's going to happen with anybody.
Are you retired?
No. So he actually is a rigger. And so they actually are from Utah and would like to get back.
Wait, he's working now?
Yes.
And he's going to keep his current job?
No.
Oh.
No.
So where are the
he works away from his family, and this will put him back with his family. And so this is a huge benefit for them that they're willing to make some sacrifices to. But live the same lifestyle that they live now, which is very similar to what we're offering them here at the ranch. So they're very interested, and these seem like pretty quality people. We're checking their references, and if they check out, then I say we invite them to come and look at the ranch, and
It's ideal that if somebody's not retired and still in their working years, because they are going to have to work.
They'll pay their own way.
Okay.
John made a statement, and I agree with John. If we could hire somebody or get them here before spring hits, I think it would be good. I'd like them actually to hit this ground in the severe part of the winter, because I don't want to train them in the spring. And the first winter, they go, I'm out of here.
Right. The one problem,
if they go through the first winter, then they'll probably stay. So if we could hire them in January, I'd be all for it.
Well, and I got two applications. The other ones I talked on the phone when they asked for the information, and I was not terribly impressed. I think that this couple out of Missouri, we need to kind of go down that road a little ways before we determine to spend more money and bring on more applicants. That's my opinion.
Well, I didn't know
very,
anything about
very
it.
Possible. And I'll send you all that stuff. If you want it, you can have everything that we have, and we'll give you the YouTube link, and you can read about their, you know, everything that we know about them.
That would be good.
With the exception of us talking to them. But we're to the point where we really should have them come, and because they could come as early as January 1. We could leave the 7 and 8 open then, and they could maintain that.
Do they have kids?
They do. Yes. They have three little kids.
I think so. They've been homeschooling. It's a very simple
situation. She's a registered nurse.
I mean,
good, I got some aches and pains.
Yeah.
she's going to quit registered nurse job,
yeah.
too?
Yeah. I prepared to come out here and do this.
Where are they from originally?
This is going to be beneficial to them because they're going to be able to put their family back together. And they'll know where in the ranch where their family is together, like our ranch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a perfect situation if that's what your biggest desire is. So it's a win for them, even though he's going to take a huge cut in pay.
And lose her salary as well.
Right. But it's a win for us if we can get them here and then they'd be committed. They're looking really good. These people are looking
good. People
that
like to live in the backcountry, it isn't about money anyway. It's a different kind. It takes a different kind of a person who wants to do this. Not just it can sound very romantic.
Yeah, yeah.
Sound very romantic.
My biggest concern in looking at these people was, once they find out what we pay, there's no way we're going to get
them.
And that's why we sent it to them, and then I talked to them. Yeah. And that's at the $2,500, but I would think that as soon as we tell them, you know, if you get up to speed, I even put them on probation, you know. We give you 3 months here, and yeah, after 3 months we can give you, you know, the extra $500 a month or something. Or we'll look for another person. But
did you tell them $25,000?
$2,500.
A month.
Yeah.
That's what I was curious about.
I sent him your stuff.
This stuff.
Okay.
Where is the yearly charge here for the money that we give to them?
For the caretakers.
$30,000 is what I have down there. Online 52.
Magazine is where we advertised before also, because people who are doing homeschooling are willing to do that sort of.
Because Nancy and Paul made 33.
Yeah, we cut it back down to start off.
If they're performing and everybody's excited about them, then the board can give them a raise. And if not, then I guess the board could cut them loose too. But
do they know horses? Carson?
No, they're not. They're somewhat limited as far as.
But Brad knows.
If it doesn't work out, it's coming out of your portion of your budget.
He's after my money.
when I used to hire people for the company, I just say, this is what I'm paying you for 3 months. At the end of the 3 months, I'm either giving you a raise or I'm going to fire you. I need somebody that can earn this much money.
Yeah.
If you can't, not good enough to earn this much money, I don't need you.
You guys read through their stuff, and I think
I've got copies of the stuff, not the video stuff. Send us
an email on that, and we'll read it.
They have a video that they sent a link. Brad can send you the link.
Can you email us a video?
Yeah, I will.
They sent you a video.
So they know computers.
They made a YouTube for their family. Kind of a,
sweet.
Well, they smile. Do they have teeth?
Not to rush in.
No, I never got a good look at their teeth.
That would be an hour or 45 minutes over.
Oh, well.
Well, you judge your horse, you should check on that.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, let's go along.
Let's keep going. Let's go on. We've got number seven here. We're up to Brad.
Hallelujah. Now, I have a 20-minute speech to share.
In your dream.
Actually, we have some really, what I think is really good news as far as the agriculture program. Let's talk about a couple of things on the outside of that thing, the bee lease. Are we happy with the two bee guys that came and we're going to allow them to come back in? That's what I thought we were all in agreement on.
I agree.
Do I understand that correctly? The one bee guy that I talked to, they want to come in as early spring as when the snow melts. They want to come in and put their bees in. I'm sure the other guy will be similar because it was a bad year for them last year at the ranch, but overall for bees it was bad. So bees didn't produce good overall. So it was a bad year overall for bees, not just them. But they'd like to come in as early as somewhere the 1st of April or something like that. And they would like to explore putting more bees there if we want. Or if we were willing to. Are we willing to put two sites apiece of bees for both of these guys, or what do you want to do?
What's the proximity to where they want to put it?
You know,
that'll all have to be determined. I told them the thing that we were concerned about is dueling beehives. So if we have two guys on the ranch, we have to have enough space to keep their bees separate, and I know they go for like about a mile range.
I was told close to 2.5 miles, so as long as we have the room, so I don't see why not. As long as they did like at Leaf Spring, they were, you know, they're a quarter mile off the main road. I never knew they were even there. And when they put them on lot 74, they were 200 yards in. I never knew they were there.
So I'll visit with these guys as it goes along, and then if they want to put a new or another site for bees, then we'll bring that site to the board for approval. And if you guys approve it, then we'll let them put in.
Now, are you going to be the middleman, or did you want them to come to the meeting and present their proposal of what they want?
I think it's important that somebody here knows where they want to put the bees, you know, that we can. So I got to meet with them at some point on the ranch and go out and say, this is where we want to put the bees. This is what. But,
I don't think as far as I'm concerned, I don't necessarily need to see or hear or talk to the bee guys.
Okay.
I would just hope that you'd come and tell us this is what they proposed, and I think this is good or this is bad.
Yeah, you're agriculture.
Hey, they bring honey when they come.
Yes.
I don't want them near. I don't want them near the three ponds for fishing because I don't want them to attack some kid that's fishing.
Three ponds fishing in the meadow area is a little bit difficult. Yeah. The high traffic areas where everybody
goes. They need water, so water.
So you'd be the mediator then.
Of what the bees are. So I'll continue talking to them. I'll let you know what progresses. But so far, they can come back as they were this year. They want any other changes, they need to be approved, and then we'll let you.
Will you bring, once the bee lease is good, will you bring it to them then?
Yeah, normally I just send it to Brad, and he's going to tell them, and then they're going to say, well, we like this, or we don't, or they're going
to
sign it.
And I'm going to tell them that they have to pay the $650 a sign and put up at least two signs for their bees.
Well, it's in there. It's in the lease that they have to provide signs, so we're just going to say we took a step for you. You just need to reimburse us for the signs. So,
okay. So who will keep all the paperwork, Mariah?
Yeah.
As far as the lease?
Yes,
sir. Oh, absolutely. She needs to have a copy of... She's got a copy of the cattle lease and the bee lease.
I'm keeping it in the minutes.
Yeah, I don't.
Everybody's aware.
They all need to be kept at the office, the ranch office, so that if any one of us disappears, we still know where the documents are.
Okay, fire protection. How many here know how to drive the fire truck? By a show of hands.
I know how to drive the truck. I don't know how to operate
fire
equipment.
Truck. Operate that.
I've been shown how, but I'd probably stumble if I was in a hurry.
Why do we have a fire truck?
Okay,
you are now all the new volunteer fire department for Deer Springs Ranch. And each one of you need to learn how to operate the fire truck and to make it work. If there's a fire, each one of us needs to know. We have to have more people there to know how to work that truck, or why do we even have it? Brent's the only guy. If he has a fire, he can run down and save his own house.
I think it'd be helpful for me because I'm not out there as much as some of you. But in April, May, somewhere in there, the board meeting that we're going to have out there, I think we come out half an hour early and have Brad and some of the other permanent people out there, and let's have a little training and
bring the fire truck to the meeting. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's sitting right
there. It'll be at the ranch.
It's at the ranch house, yeah.
I would like to know.
Yeah. Just to be smarter.
Yeah, Brent showed me how, but I've slept since then.
Okay. So.
Good idea.
I kind of assumed everybody knew about it. I was the only dummy in there, but I'm glad to know I'm the dummy.
Well, they're my roads. You can't take them up my road.
I have spent afternoon with the county extension service agent, and we have gone through the ranch, and I've become more and more educated in trying to get a range management plan for our ranch. Turns out his recommendation for range management is exactly the same thing that we contracted to do with the fencing for the cattle, because they're perfectly aligned. In order for us to have good range management, we have to be able to have the cattle management also, so the bulls can be kept separate in different areas.
Nice. And
so you can also rotate the cattle and control where the cattle go. We're a little bit lucky just because we have longhorns on the ranch, and longhorns range far more than regular cattle. So they almost do their own rotation. If you had all the fences open, you wouldn't see them in the same field. you get a few lazy ones that'll lay around, but you could have those cows on the ranch and you wouldn't be able to track them, know where they are day to day. So we benefit a little bit just by the breed of cattle that we happen to have on the ranch. But really, to make our ranch prosper and our range lands prosper, we need to be able to control that more. And it fits right in line with what we're contracted to have done, which we failed to do. And so just as, you know, a little bit of education, you know, knowledge is power. Just a brief history of what has happened with the cattle on the ranch is years ago, Doug Hunt contracted to lease the meadow. I don't know if you guys are all aware about it, but longhorns were on the meadow years ago. Spring rolled around and planning to bring his cattle in, and because of whatever political environment existed during that time, they said, oh, we've decided for the outside lease guys to be able to take the inside lease too. You'll need to find someplace else to go. And so he's had pretty cold feet, you know, from that experience since, because he didn't have any place to take his cows, and he was left stranded. And so he kind of got screwed by Deer Springs Ranch years ago. But we got him back here, and the benefit that we have from him is, I mean, I haven't talked to one single person so far. I mean, they might not like a cow pie, you know, and especially if it's on their property. But the truth is the longhorns cow, you go look at domestic cow pie, and you'll like longhorns cow pies a lot a lot better. Because, again, of the breed of the cattle, they have a lot smaller dung piles than domestic cattle do. They have less impact with, you know, their hoofs are way smaller than domestic cattle. They have less impact on our lands, and everybody loves to see them. All of our members love to see them. It's a positive thing. So we, in my opinion, we don't want to do things that necessarily chase that off, because if we replace it, we're going to replace it with animals that are inferior in value to what we get at our ranch, not to mention, you know, the aesthetic value of the animals. So we got the contract back with Doug Hunt, and his longhorns are here. He needs to be able to, just like we just talked about, the contract was written up so that he would pay more money. And I asked Ben, I talked with Ben, who was the guy who originally made the contract, or originally was in my position over agriculture when the contract was created, Ben Clarkson. And his impressions to me was, we got somebody now who actually comes out and sees, manages the cattle instead of just dump them off in the spring and show up in the fall to pick them off, or to pick him up, and he pays us twice as much more. So we're getting a value package for the cattle. And honestly, the meat industry really has taken a huge hit. The cattle market down, or the money per pound for beef is way down. The benefit for us is we still get our $12,000. The negative impact for the contractor is he pays a far greater percentage this year for the land that he contracted than he did last year. Okay, so here we are. We're within the contract. Question?
Yes, real quickly. You said you met with a man with the range management. I noticed in the minutes we had a hard time trying to figure out that person's name.
The county extension agent's name is Kevin Heaton.
Heaton. Okay.
Kevin Heaton.
Okay.
And the exciting thing isn't necessary. Kevin, he just confirmed what I already suspected and gave me more education. The exciting thing is that I also spent another day out there with Zach Orton, who is the NRCS, Natural Resource Conservation Service, which is national. And there are funds available out there for us to apply for. I should say us. There are funds available for cattle contractors to apply for that can use federal monies to benefit us. And I had him come out, and we did a extensive tour of the ranch, and he went back and wrote up a management plan.
His last name again was?
Zach Orton.
Orton?
Orton. Yeah. Orton. O-R-T-O-N. Okay.
And
I wasn't the only one.
What? Back to the duck hunt story for your history lesson really quick. Let me just finish that out. So the contract was written. Okay, we were making somewhere, I think we were paying per head or whatever, around $8,000 or something. And they said, when they negotiated the contract with him, I think Dirk was the one who actually wrote the contract up. He said, look, instead of having to try to keep track of how many cows we have here and there, why don't we manage the whole thing? Instead of the eight, we'll pay $10,000 this year. Contract is written there. You can all read it. And then we'll pay you $11,000 the following year, and then we'll pay you $12,000 the following year after that, with the exception of we have to be able to manage the bulls. Is really what his concern is, the bulls. Right. Our concern now is range management, you know, plus the additional, forget about that. Our concern really is the range management, the bulls to manage themselves. So the contract is written, so we pay that. He'll pay that extended money, which he has paid. But yet, once again, Deer Springs has not fully followed up on there. So basically, he said, you build the fences and you fix them and I'll pay for them. I'll pay you not only 10 now, but I'll pay 11 and then 12 and then 12 continually on. So we can have those fences made and maintained, and we haven't. And so he's paying money every year. We're spending his money in our ranch budget every year. And so we actually owe him some money on the ranch, but his concern isn't trying to take advantage of Deer Springs. He doesn't want to take our money. He wants to run his cows out here, and he wants to be able to manage his cows out here. And I think that I'm the perfect guy to negotiate, you know, our way, because I know where all the bodies are buried on both sides of the fence. And so he'll have to take a hit on his taxes, and I told him that we would be fair on that, because we have available up to us, according to his contract, and if you guys want to look at it, I didn't get copies of it, but I have a map with the areas of the ranch and some of the monies that we can, but we have up to, we only have until November 20th to finish our plan. Then it has to go in, and then it has to be ranked. If we rank in high enough, then, and we're able to qualify for that money, we're eligible for over $40,000 worth of additional income, which is going to be shared. So when we do improvements on the range, like for example, my biggest concern with agriculture right now is that we need to not owe Doug Hunt any more money. And so we need to stop that leak. So if we don't fix the fences, it's like we spend the money on other areas, it's like doubling the money, because it's right in the contract that if we don't do it, then we'll reimburse him the $2,000 a month that he was willing to, or a year, that he was willing to spend on that in the contract. So if we fix those fences and we plug that hole so we don't have any more other leak going out there, that's probably the top priority for me, is to make that happen for the ranch so we don't owe any more money. But what the ranch actually needs the worst is we have a huge, huge problem with rabbit brush infestation. It's creeping all over the ranch, and it's it's taken over, and it's like shaving. And we've been, no matter how good a job you do shaving, tomorrow you're going to have to shave again. And we've been attacking the rabbit brush like shaving. And the truth is, the rabbit brush can't really be killed only during certain periods of time, and it's in the fall. and we're past that window when it goes dormant. Now all the seeds are going to go. But in order to eradicate rabbit brush, you have to not only cut the rabbit brush, but then you have to spray it with a herbicide in order to kill it. And it has to be done within 15 minutes of you cutting the brush.
Wow.
So there's other chemicals that you can spray on it, but then the thing is just sitting there. You know, so we can still continue to attack it, because we can shave every day and still look nice. And we've been shaving at the ranch, so we'll rabbit brush, we'll brush hog, and it'll look nice. There's certain areas, and they've been identified there, that don't have the massive amount of rabbit brush that are there that we can attack. We can brush hog ourselves and charge basically Doug Hunt for brush hogging that and get reimbursement money back to the ranch. So it's kind of a win-win situation. And the way I see it, unless somebody has some differing views, that this is a good relationship, and if it's fostered, it could be a fantastic relationship. And we could have $40,000 worth of improvements within fencing, within herbicide controls, piping, water troughs, and it's not only available, it's available to us on an ongoing basis. We have to continue to apply for it. And I've already got him through the process of applying, so he's willing to do that and apply for that. But the money will be showing up, income to him, and it will be on his taxes, and so we'd have to make that right somehow, and we could talk about that further. But
Brad, how expensive is this herbicide, and how much would we need?
It costs about $100 an acre for an outside guy, and I tried to call him today, too.
An acre?
An acre to brush hog and then to spray the herbicide. But they have a brush hog. And we'd need to contract the heavy areas out, because the heavy areas, you can brush hog it, and their machine will brush hog it and spray it at the same time. So he'll eradicate it. As he brush hog it, then it's gone. Then that's what we need to do.
And how much percentage, does that...
On the map that's going around, you can look and you'll see what they're willing to pay per acre. But the heavy brush hog areas... almost 75% we can get funded. So ranch only costs us 25% of what it normally costs, and we can get funded for 75% back and replace it. So our monies that are limited can go four times as far in some areas. And they also, they won't fence exterior fences, but they will pay for pasture fences, so we can do exactly what we've been talking about as far as manage our rangelands, so we can separate grazing area. So if it's a pasture fence, then we can get reimbursed up to $1.32 a foot.
Now, is this a grant that you're talking about that we have to write to the state?
It's federal funding, and it's almost impossible for Deer Springs Ranch as an association to get the money. So it has to come through the contractor.
And we'd use their equipment. And we're almost going to have to, because that brush hog that we got, I looked at it when I was down at the ranch last time. It's got pieces of steel about this big by this big that are gone. And there's cracks going every which way like a spider.
Well, so hopefully you can repair it a little bit.
Hours to rebuild that.
Because there's areas of the ranch that we can take it now, and I can go brush hog it, and then where it's limited amounts of rabbit brush, then we can have somebody else coming behind, hitting the individual, in the lighter areas, and we can eradicate lighter areas where we're doing the work ourselves, but we can still charge the $100 an acre fee to brush hog and to eradicate things and get reimbursed for those money.
When would you want to start this now that falls over?
And that's the key is we have to work on their timetables when this goes in. We won't know until early spring if we rank high enough in order to qualify for the funds. If we rank high enough to qualify for the funds, we can't really attack our rabbit brush until October. And so we have to deal with it through this next year. Or in the very worst cases, we get the machine rolling, and in the very worst, we go shave it. We just shave our face for that for this year, or however far our monies will go, because we only have so much money in the budget. But the main thing is to, number one, stop the bleeding, the hemorrhaging that we have from the fences, which will put us in line with range management anyway, so we want to do that. So it's a win-win. But number two, if we can get this money, then we can do lots of other things now that wasn't available to us.
But
we didn't have the funds in order to do.
Do we know what time frame we have to look for? When would we know that we would qualify for the funding?
I want to add a couple other fence lines in there, and so hopefully it goes into our southern border. I don't know if you've seen the black cows and stuff that leach back up on top of us. The southern fence needs to be replaced, and that's a border fence because our permit is on the south side of our private property, and so but they will not pay for rebuilding old fences. They won't reimburse for an old fence. They'll only reimburse us per foot for brand new fencing. So we have to put new fencing in. But oftentimes, it's not that much more money for a new fence than it is to put in an old fence. And if somebody else is going to pay us $1.32 a foot, then it's well worth it to go ahead and upgrade our fence systems.
And you have 4 years.
Yeah, we do have up to 4 years to use that money. So if we don't have enough money in our budget, we can continue the program with our budget next year and do more next year. We can do it. We could do it all at once if we have enough money to go through the whole ranch and improve everything that's there. But it's a phenomenal program that's available for us, and if we can qualify and get ranked.
I know we got to get going, but it's fine. I remember you said something before that we're supposed to supply water in certain areas for the cattle. I don't know if I'm saying this right. I'm trying to hurry. But you said something out at the well field, that there's something that you have said should be done, could be done, that we could actually have that water there for the cattle that has not been done.
It's just repairing the line that leaks out there, and so you can't put an automatic turn-on valve. So somebody has to manually water that and watch that all the time. Because when that's on, then it leaks down in the ground. Mm-hmm. But in order to replace that, then they have to shut the water off, clear up the hill, and drain that whole line down because there's not a shut-off valve in that line that we know of.
Is it a steel line?
We don't know. I have no idea.
It's a leak.
All I know is what I've been told on the line. But it runs from the well field. The water's there, but it runs up the hill. And so all the water has to be shut off. We'll have to ask Brent how much, but basically, you got to kind of drain the system in order to work on the thing.
Well, so again, if it was a steel line, I can weld with water in a pipe leaking. I can weld it, but if it's plastic, you're done.
Well, the leak is the leak isn't in the line. I believe I haven't dug enough to see, but I believe the leak is in the bottom of the freeze valve. So it goes down. So the handle's up here, but it shuts it off down in the underground.
There's about 4,000 gallons of water, I'm told, in that line coming.
And this is the perfect time to fix that. Yeah. Once the ranch managers are gone, mm-hmm. in the springtime for sure, we need to dig that up and we need to put in a shutoff valve in that line. So if there's ever another
problem. That's how you can put an automatic water in.
Yeah, so that just is automatically done.
Yeah.
But the thing about the ponds is the ponds are in perfect position in a lot of those areas to supply the water, so the ranch doesn't even have to ever worry about having water. It's because those ponds will fill automatically every year if there's enough of a pond to fill up to last. This last year, if we would have cleaned that pond out when it was so dry, it was the perfect time to try to do it, but we didn't have all of our ducks in a row in order to be able to get that done. We'd have twice the amount of water that's sitting in that pond, and we might not even have to worry about it all year. But the ponds will catch water, and so we don't have to worry about creating water there. But we also can apply for solar system pumps. We can put where the windmill is down by above Half Moon Reservoir. We can apply for a solar system pump, and they'll fund up to like $2,500 to put in a solar pump, and we can pump water into a trough, and any excess can just be piped over and dumped into Half Moon Reservoir and continue to keep that full. I know that they put a pump on that a year ago, a manual pump, and they grinded it out, and it wasn't really successful, is what I remember. Do you know anything about that?
All I know is we tested that to see how much water per minute would come out of it when we took my generator down. Remember you were there?
Were you there? Well, Brent was there and myself. The windmill. And the, are you talking about the one up
there
in our field or that one out?
No,
that Vance was there, I think.
The one down there that you guys put.
Yeah, Vance and Brent and I. We got 10 gallons a minute.
Well, that's plenty. Anyhow, a lot can be done, and there's other, and we can apply next year for more. We can continue to adjust our range management program according to our wants and needs, and but there's, it's cool that there's funding out there, and we knock it down, and we're in line. We'll know in the springtime. I got to do a little bit more additional groundwork on putting fences in, because if we can, I'd like to get approved for more fencing stuff. We did make a $1,600 purchase of fencing material. I picked it up. I bought it. I spent my money on it. I'm hoping the CI is going to write me a check.
Is that part of the fencing that's inside the carport there?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw it yesterday.
You're done for the year, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what are you fixing with that?
Well, we have that fence that we need to repair. So if it turns out that we don't qualify, so we really can't, we got to kind of sit on our hands a little bit until we see if we qualified or not, because if we do work prior to, we're not going to get any refund on any. Mm-hmm. So if we go build a new fence right now, we're not. So the only thing we can do is start to stockpile some monies. And I saw that I had budget in my money left this year and to spend on that. Some people might disagree with me, but I know
it's rob from Peter to pay Paul kind of a thing.
But
so
for example, on a $10,000 budget on agriculture last year in 2015, they spent $4,000, so they robbed $6,000 last year doing nothing that should have been planned in to do something into the thing. So, and I knew that we needed to do a bunch of stuff, and so if we could start to stockpile some stuff. Which brings up one other point. Is there a problem with us, if we get people to come in and to do voluntary work, is there a problem with us putting them in a cabin? If we're making money?
When?
I think so, no.
When? It's not when the cabins are closed.
No, when the cabins are available.
You mean next year, 2017?
Yeah, the ones are available.
I.e., next week. I'm just trying to decide what to do. And so you guys as a board can help me decide. I had a bunch of cowboys come in last week and help us move cows. And so in our downtime, I said, I have all this fencing material, guys. This fence down here hasn't held a cow since the entire time I've been here. let's go out and fence. So they came in to be a cowboys, and we put them to work as fencers. But then we want to charge them $2 a day ahead to stay in there. So I want to know if you want the $2 a head, or if they submit the bill for a $2 a foot of fence that they built. And they built about 800 and... They built 1/8 of a mile of fence they restored. So if you drive along the well field, you can go look and see the work that's been done. And they also did a lot of work in the corrals. There's posts that have been dug up and replaced. And some of that money was a railroad tie that have needed to be done just to hold the cows in the corrals. So right there at the headquarters, there's a bunch of work that has been started to be done. And it was all done on volunteer. So as I called a fencing guy, he told me to do the fence that we did over there, he would charge us between $1.50 a foot and $2 a foot for labor if we supplied all the material. So in essence, we've already paid for all of the material. By money saved already, it's sitting there. So all the excess stuff that we have there to build more fence is just there for us to be able to build, and it's been paid for by, if we would have had contracted that out, they would have charged us that much money to pay for what we've already used already. So what we have that's in there is paid for itself, not to mention everything that's been replaced.
In answer to your question, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't provide some housing assistance for those that are volunteering up there, no question about it.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, we need to obviously not interfere with times that are spoken for and high times and that kind of stuff. But if we can encourage people with free labor to help us save some money, then, and the cabins are sitting there empty, then there's no question.
Do we all agree with that?
Yes.
Is
that's what I'm saying, because
I was going to have to pay Mariah today for the time that we spend in the cabin and pay for all of those guys. And so I'm paying for them guys to come to build our fence. Or thinking, you know, that's ridiculous.
So I'm trying to follow this, the whole conversation, but I'm not agriculture, so it's a little bit beyond my scope of knowledge. But my question to you, and like maybe I can email later, or maybe you can email back later so we don't have to take up this time. But so when we first did the lease, the dirt put together, and there was things that we were supposed to do by the year 2012. And then you would, if we didn't do it by 2012, then we'd pay you guys back the $2,000 a year.
Until it's not me.
Doug.
Yeah, Doug.
So, and Ben told me, and I asked him, because I don't know if I was treasurer at the time, but I was in the board, and I said, you know, specifically ask him three times, that's been done, right? And he said, yes. So you're saying that part has not been done, because after that time period, we're supposed to split the expenses with Hunts on the fences with the association. So I guess what I'm asking from you is, what part of that commitment did not get done so that we can cover that for our bill and keep that separate from what's moving forward?
I even have a copy of the contract, but I know you have one too, so you can read it. But if you read it, they had to number one, fence the meadow, which they did. So that's the only thing that we did. We got the meadow fence. But then they had to put a fence in between Broad Hollow.
Yes.
And it's never been done.
That was never done.
And there's no fence between that separates us from Deer Springs Point and the airstrip pasture.
Okay, and that was never
so
done.
Those two fences, there's been nothing done on that.
Okay. So can we keep those projects that we had that we're obligated to pay you that we're supposed to do? Can we keep those separate from the new stuff so that at least with the numbers, so that we know, okay, we're responsible for this amount, and then anything past that
I think needs
to be the shared part, because I'm confused about it. And I was thinking it was already done.
Are you worried about the money that we should have reimbursed that we didn't? Or?
Well, we were not supposed to charge you the $2,000 until that was done, and that's why I asked him over and over again if it was done, and he said yes. I took him at his word for it.
I talked with Doug, and he doesn't want to take our money. He wants to run his cows here, and he wants us to build those fences. So if we get ourselves in line and let him run his cows here, I think he's going to forgive any debt that we've incurred in the back thing.
But we need to budget and figure out how we're going to, at some point, get those things done, as sooner rather than later.
Well, I've got half a mile of fence. I use some of it, but mostly the posts. I only use one, like 10 rolls of barbed wire, of half wire, a five-strand barbed wire. We are limited on the. We have to build the kind of fence that they tell us it has to be so many inches high, etc. But we can use the higher post, and after we get refunded our money, we can do whatever we want with our fence, and then we can run a fifth strand, which would make it a great fence.
So what were the three fences we needed to do? I have one between Broad Hollow, one between Deer Springs Point, and.
Contractually, that's the fences that we need to work on. And if we get a manager, if we hire a guy in here and that's part of his expectations.
The third one was the meadow when it's done.
Between the meadow, Broad Hollow, and airstrip pastures, the meadow and the airstrip and Deer Springs Point.
But truthfully, we need to be able to stop the cows from the airport to get down in front of the ranch and out there. And I wrote as much as I could of those fences, and they go way back in crazy places. But very little money can I think we can fix some of the fences and begin to put ourselves in line, but we'd be better off if we can sit on our hands for just a little bit to see if we qualify for that fund. Because if we do, then we can get reimbursed for the money that we do. If we don't, we're going to go to work with the funds that we have available, and we're going to fix that hole, and then we're going to just use our brush hog and spray ourselves and get by through this year, and hopefully we can get funded for, you know, a bunch of that stuff next year. But I think we got a better than 50% chance of qualifying for that money, and then it will be available for us. So,
thank you.
And is that all my report?
Yeah. Okay.
You got to close up.
I can leave you guys here, and you can close up after me. I need to be gone in about 9 minutes, so 5 o'clock. But I don't know.
Did I take longer than 20 minutes?
It was great.
That was fun. We were that right here. Good boy.
Was it 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Well,
they were
pretty much
back here.
That pretty much covers everything except we got much on roads, John?
We don't have much on roads. I can skip that.
Okay. How about communications?
The only thing I had was the annual meeting. We had three tape recorders going, and you basically hear peacocks.
Yeah.
So I am very challenged with trying to make the annual minutes because all I hear is a peacock, peacock, and then one word from Phil. Peacock, peacock, one word from someone else.
That wasn't Phil talking?
So he was strutting like a peacock.
What I'm going to do is do the best I can from my notes,
okay,
because the audio equipment was terrible.
It was.
And we need to do something so the next annual meeting is better. And if we have that cowboy singer that had all that equipment right there, he has the microphone, it would be easier if we have someone, you know, Vance or someone bring in just a tape recorder, we plug it into the, and have everybody come up to the microphone so that everybody can hear.
We used to have that.
And where is that equipment?
Dale White passed away.
Okay.
Well, Dale White used to bring it in all the time.
I would just like to suggest that we have for the next annual meeting or any meetings we have with a lot of individuals that are going to be speaking, we have some type of a microphone set up so that everyone can hear and it can be recorded.
We have somebody that get rid of the peacocks for us.
I think it would be pretty easy for us to come and help out Party Land over here and rent an MC system. Battery power is a little bit of a challenge, but we'll make sure we have something next year.
Should I put that on my list of things to do for the annual meeting?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I will send you what I have. I just haven't had any time.
I know.
But I have all the minutes.
And you're a better note taker than I am.
Okay, we done here then? We'll adjourn the meeting?
Well, wait, can I bring a couple
anybody
more
wanna
things before the board?
Say what?
I have a couple things that have come through my office. I have a letter from the Department of Agriculture. They want to do some cleaning up on land that borders us. So I just thought we ought to be aware of that, that that's going to be happening. They do have a period where we can protest or speak otherwise, although they won't commit to a time in this. It's based on when it's posted in the spectrum, so we can call and get notification on that. But I thought the board ought to be aware that
what
this
side
is
of us?
In the bordering.
That's one of the
fire things? Yes, they want to do some prescribed burns and some, and also they want to do some spraying and that kind of thing. Again, for the rabbit brush, they're working mainly on
it's a huge problem within our whole state, not just on our ranch. But we've done nothing all year for rabbit brush, and so on. Now it's all going to seed now.
We've, as far as the controlled burn and that kind of stuff, we sent them a formal letter stating our position last spring and just said just where we're at, and that is we're okay if you move ahead, but you do so at your own risk. If you wreck our roads, we're going to expect you to fix them and come back, or if there's any issues with the fire, then we're going to hold you responsible. That was pretty much what happened.
Since this has come to us again, would it behoove us to send that again?
Wouldn't hurt.
Is it the forest that they're doing it along the top side of the forest?
I'm pretty
sure. On
the
northeast corner of the ranch is where the last map I saw.
Okay. That's what I thought.
If you want to scan and email that to me, then I'd be more than happy to put a letter together for Phil's signature again.
Okay. These were the meetings that we had at Phil's house, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
The people actually
came to the presentation.
One other thing, this was something that came through from the board of directors. You probably all saw this email from Tony Henfrey from the United Kingdom wanting to access our. He spoke to us first, and I told him that was something I was not authorized to give him, was our bank account information for a deposit. So he's. Credit card was something that we didn't discuss. He didn't bring that up as an option. He wanted to just directly deposit money into our account.
If he wants to do a credit card, we can do that through my office. That's pretty easy. But wire transfers are very common and very secure. I don't think, given the information to transfer in wires, any big risk. So just so you know.
Square. Okay. Sorry. So how would you like to proceed with this then? I can accept a credit card though too. That's not a problem.
Okay.
I mean, a credit card can come through the register.
It'd be easier if you just have them say, "Great, call us or give us a credit card." Okay. And we'll run it through every time that, you know, whenever your assessment's due.
Yeah.
He wants an automatic thing, so that you don't have to think about that.
He wants to just do it.
Like what the
What lot number is he?
We just do it every year. 49. We have to call him up and ask what
he just bought this year? Or?
No, he's had quite a while.
He's been on for a long time.
He's been a long time. He just moved to the United Kingdom, though, so he has to rearrange all of his finances.
Oh, okay.
So the board approves that I can go ahead and give that information out then, or meet his request. He wants to know, I would like to request the details of the DSROA's bank account, including the bank's international SWIFT/IBAN numbers, so that payments...
That's all stuff you can look up on the internet for any bank, if you know the bank's name anyway. Okay. The only sort of confidential information you're going to give them is the bank account number.
Okay. And that's only for installing, not removing money.
Yeah, that only authorizes you to make a deposit.
So I don't see a problem with
it. All the time, and title companies, everybody else. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay. Adjourn. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. We adjourn.
Second.
Okay. John, second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.